Hello,
man today. No. Because
welcome, ladies and gentlemen, listeners and viewers worldwide, to a very special Tuesday edition of the Hagman Hang Report. It is a live broadcast today. It's Tuesday, March 19th, 2013. I'm Doug Hagman. In studio with me is my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. And tonight, we have a very special program. Our guest tonight will be Mr. Steve Quayle. That's stevequayle.com. Internationally renowned author, researcher, and all around a great guy, actually. He's been a very good friend of mine for the last decade or so. I've known him to be a very good man in terms of what he states, the information he provides. I've learned a lot from him, and I got to tell you, I'm excited to be here. Joe, welcome to the studio. If I sound out of breath, by the way, I am. We were running around right before the show because
my father had a great idea to change routers 20 minutes before the beginning of the show. And then the internet didn't connect until about 1 second before we went live.
But how great is that? 1 second. 1 second. And that's kind of a lesson in a way.
Yeah.
That's all we need is time. 1 second. Yeah, well, that's true. But 1 second. 1 second. That's kind of a lesson. Anyway, with that, our topic tonight is, of course, the handwriting is on the wall. And you know, this is a reference to the book of Daniel, chapter 5, verses 25 through 28. And Steve was talking about this to me in preparation for this broadcast. And if you're not familiar with the scripture, it does say, in the writing that was written, many, many tekel of Pharsin. I'm not sure what that means exactly,
Hang up and reconnect if you can.
Oh, sure.
Sorry, I jumped right in the middle of your thought process there, but we got to do this to make sure the sound is better for whatever reason. When we connect, hang up. And
how's this now? Oh, yeah, you know,
much better.
I can hear you like you're right next to me. But anyway, as I was saying,
I don't understand how that works, but
yeah, I don't either. But like I was saying, this is a reference to Daniel, the book of Daniel. The handwriting is on the wall, and of course, if you read the chapter 5, verses 25 through 28, you'll get a flavor of what we're in for tonight. This is the interpretation of the thing that was written: God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided. That's what we're going to be talking about this evening. With that, is Steve on with us?
Okay. No.
We're waiting for him to call in. And before we... Oh, okay. All right.
I've tried four times to get through, and they were blocking me. I couldn't even get a dial tone. I started calling in at 7 o'clock.
I got to tell you something, Steve. Aside from the little operator error that I had here, we've been having a lot of technical issues with our show. So, you know what? We must be doing something right. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah, and I think tonight's going to be a very important show, because tonight, before I even get in to a message I've dreaded ever giving, not because I won't give it, but because the Lord basically wouldn't let me give it until it's time. And I got to set the stage for this. When I came to Jesus, I was saved out of a life of sin. Those of you who've heard my testimony, it's on YouTube. Bottom line is, Jesus appeared to me literally not in a dream or a vision. I fell at his feet as dead. He lifted me up. I had just accepted him as my Lord and Savior at a Hal Lindsey meeting at the Student Union Building in MSU in 1972. And when Jesus looked into my eyes, every cell in my body, every atom of my being was flooded with forgiveness and a love that I had never known as a human being and wouldn't even understand the full implications at that point. At that point in time, God called me to have a Joseph's ministry. And Doug and Joe and everyone listening, as I've said before, I didn't know who Joseph was. I knew nothing. I was raised in a total carnal environment and had no, quote, Christian teaching, upbringing, or anything. So you've got to understand, this is a pretty overwhelming thing. As the Lord proceeded to tell me what my calling would be in life, and again, I had no idea what a watchman was, I was called to be a watchman. He then proceeded to give me a panorama of history, of what the future would hold, events would unfold. And then he said an interesting thing. He said, but I am going to hide this from you until the time period when the events are in the process of unfolding. I have been, when I say not dreading as a dread in a sense of a word that, you know, I just, it's really hard to get through it because it is so vile and wretched. When I ask the Lord how bad it's going to get during the tribulation time for the world, he said, take everything you know of history, and I think it's well documented in 14,000 plus footnotes in all the books I've written. I have a little understanding of history. He said, it's going to be 1,000 times worse than all that combined. Well, you know, the point that I am at tonight, Doug, before I say anything, I was given a word of the Lord by an amazing minister and his wife, and also Romy prayed one of the most beautiful intercessory prayers I think that have ever been prayed, because I said to both of them, actually all three of them, I don't want to tell the people what's coming. I've told them, Lord. And if, you know, as I told you, I don't know, it was the day before yesterday or, you know, a couple days ago, but in the shower, the Lord said, it's now the time of my release. Tell my people what I have had you hold back and tell them fully and forcefully. Well, my immediate response wasn't necessarily obedience. I said, I don't want to do it, Lord. And for the record, I'm not grandstanding. It's just I've lived with something for 40 years about the death and destruction, everything that's coming. I've written about it extensively, but I've basically held a lot of it back because if God's people won't open their eyes to chemtrails, to persecution, to all of the attempts to kill all the Christians, to vilify, identify veterans, make them non-persons, Christians non-persons, homeschoolers non-persons, and a bunch of everything and everyone that's not them up as terrorists so that the laws can be appropriately applied, basically, to kill everyone, then, Lord, what good does it tell them about the things that lie beyond what they can see? And then the Lord spoke to me and said, for the remnant's sake, for the remnant's sake. And, Doug, tonight I'm going to talk about some things, but the words that were given to me were before came out of a four-hour prayer meeting between Pastor Bruce and his wife Susan, and then also came from my dear friend and intercessor Romy. And basically what God is saying, Steve, tell them about my fire and my glory, because most people have never seen the glory of God. And I'm not talking about no man has ever seen God and lived. I know the scripture, but the bottom line is many of you have experienced, and many of you will yet experience, the Shekinah, the weight of his presence. The Hebrew word is kabeti. I may be pronouncing it wrong, but the Greek word is easy. It's doxa, from which we get the word doxology. And the fascinating thing to me tonight, Doug, is just that multiple witnesses, I said, Lord, I don't want to talk about the cannibalism that's coming. I don't want to share what you've told me. I don't want to share what you've shown me. And when I talk about this, and believe it or not, before the show, I'm telling you this, that it was pretty astonishing because the Lord took me literally to Micah chapter 3. And Micah chapter 3 talks specifically about the princes of the house of Israel and what happened to them who didn't know the time of their judgment. Because they hated good and loved evil, this is in the third chapter of Micah, it talks about who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces, as for the pot and as the flesh within the cauldron. Do you think that's a pretty good witness about maybe the Lord showing me through his word that I'm to go there tonight? Before I go there, I want to share something. You know, the love of God transcends anything that any of us can imagine. In the Greek, and I'll just give a basic Greek lesson, you know, there are three words for love. Obviously, you know, there's the phileo, which means brotherly love. There's eros, from which we get the word erotica, or erotic, that means sensual, sexual love. And then there's agape. Some people pronounce it agape, but let's just say this. The agape, the love of God. What is amazing to me is the vilification and the total contempt and hatred of hell expressed through hell and its adherence to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Now, I understand that God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock and caused just his hind parts, literally, to walk before Moses. Moses is the only exception to that, but still, Moses could not gaze upon the face of the Lord. The God of all creation is so powerful that while we're in a human body, our senses just cannot take it. And we're talking about different dimensions and energy levels. But the point that I'm going to make tonight, Doug, that I think is really critical, and before I get into the heavy stuff, I want to give people a word of hope, a word of encouragement. And when Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us, he's not kidding. That's not just a statement that, you know, oh, sounds all warm and fuzzy. It's not a statement that people can just pass up. This is the real thing, and this is what's going to take place in the days ahead. When I asked the Lord, why now, Lord, he said, because my judgment is in the land, and even tonight it will start to fall beyond what anyone has ever known. Now, to me, that bothers me a lot, okay, because I know I would say somewhat about the judgment of God in history, but it yet remains to be seen about the specific judgment that's coming to the United States of America, and it's going to be very, very, very telling. It's going to be very compelling, and it's going to be very dangerous. But there's hope in the name of the Lord. God will not leave us helpless. He will not leave us without his protection. And this is why God's calling so many people to repentance tonight. My dear friend and closest friend I am, Bozeman, he asked me, he said, how did you learn how to pray, Steve? And there's a purpose in me sharing everything. I've prayed so long and hard and had so many people praying that what I would open my mouth to would be an encouragement, strengthening, and the truth. I've told everyone for 20-some years on talk radio, take everything I say to the Lord Jesus. And already the imps of hell have sent me emails all day, and I'm not acknowledging them. I'm only saying this, is that the religious are out in force, and the religious, I will remind you, religious people are who crucified Jesus. And we're going to talk about the coming betrayal tonight, and the betrayal by members of our own household, by members of the faith. And we're going to talk about those who, when they find out their doctrine fails them, that they thought they were off the planet. Not all, but so many people are going to turn against Jesus and be offended. And then guess what, Doug? They're going to take out their anger and their wrath on the people that tried to tell them the truth all along.
Yeah, you know what, Steve? I think that's one of the most frequent emails I get is members. What's going on today? There is splitting families apart. They're splitting friendships apart. They're splitting neighborhoods apart in terms of the ideological and spiritual components that we're seeing. You know, we get people that just say, I just want to live my life. I don't want to hear about this. And then you get the other people who are trying to warn people, and then it's an amazing thing. And I've never seen this ever before at this level. So but what you're
saying, it's never been at that level, Doug. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing. It's never been at this level.
I
and it
you,
will
Mike,
not be at this level.
You know, one of my biggest concerns is now is who to trust. And it seems like the number of people that you can actually really trust is getting smaller and smaller. And I don't mean to sound crass when I say that, but, you know, you've got to be careful of what you say, your beliefs, you know, whether they're political or even religious, who to confide in. And once again, I'm not used to living in that realm of, my goodness, would my neighbor, for example, turn me in for having a gun if I had one, or having a food stock, pantry, a full pantry of food if I had a full pantry of food. But even beyond that, there's something spiritual at work here, and I can feel it.
Well, it's the war of the ages. It's the conquest of the planet. It's the ultimate battle between good and evil, and the devil's making his move. So, Doug, I want to get into a word that was sent to me by Peter Kay in South Africa. This was almost 6 months ago, and believe it or not, this disappeared from my email 6 months ago when my email got whacked and hacked. I think I've told everybody I've gone through 3 iMacs and a couple of laptops in the last 2 years because they've been totally wiped out. I mean, totally wiped out. So how rare is this? Because this is a prophecy from the 1960s from a guy named J. Leland Earls. Now, I don't know who that is, but this will go along with the prophecy that I posted by a sister who sent it to me today. And the amount of confirmations that came into me were over a dozen from people who said they've been up all night and praying. So I know that I know that I know that if people will take the responsibility to take it to the Lord Jesus, because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." If you're having problems hearing the voice of God, then repent. I'm going to talk about repentance, and I'm going to talk about the necessity to understand repentance in order to understand what we're going to talk about. So with your permission, I'd like to read this. It's from the 1960s. I don't know exactly when, but it's the early 60s. And this is a prophecy spoken through, I believe, a South African prophet. "I am commanding all those who will hear my word to get into my boat or ark of safety, for only therein shall you be safe in the end time storm which shall envelop the whole earth. And where is my ark of safety? It is even in the one who died for you and rose again, ascending on high for you. In him, Jesus, and in his will for your life is there safety in these last days. So my people, get into the boat, and there I will protect you, saith the Lord." And then he goes on to say, where God spoke to him, he said, "Cause my people to know this, saith the Lord, that my ways are in the seas." Now remember this time, 1962, 64, I believe. "I will make the sea to roll, and the waves shall ascend, and the city shall be inundated and flooded by the mighty rolling of the sea in that day, when I arise mightily to shake all things. For the sea shall make bare the coastlands, and the inhabitants shall perish. For my ways are in the seas, saith God, even so shall I make known unto my people in that day when and where they are to flee." I want to say that again, because I don't know where those places are, and I must rely on the Lord as much as anybody else. And I've said, "Lord, where do you want me to go? What should I do?" But let me read this again. "Even so," the Lord speaking to J. Leland Earls in the early 60s, "even so shall I make known unto my people in that day when and where they are to flee. Be prepared to move wherever I tell you, for if you will not hear my voice, surely you will perish, saith the Lord. I will cause you to know the day and the hour in which you are to flee for safety." Notice the day, and notice the hour. "For I will protect those who look unto me and depend upon me in that day, saith the Lord. But I say unto you, you shall remain where you are and fear not. You shall not move until I tell you. For I am a faithful God, and surely I will speak unto you in that day. Now you shall be quiet before me and wait upon me, seeking my face daily, that you may know me and hear my voice in the day of trouble. Now listen to this, for I will have my people flee from the places that shall be destroyed, even as Lot fled from the city of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of its destruction. My angel shall be on duty, and my glorified one shall be set in battle array to do service to those who are trusting in me and looking unto me for their deliverance. For I will deliver, saith the Lord." Now, and this is just a little bit longer. This is so critical to the to what I've got to do. I could get in and get into the meat of, you know, the stuff, and that's not where I'm coming from to scare anybody. It's to encourage everybody in the faith that even the things that they have not yet contemplated that will be coming against them, yet has the Lord Jesus Christ given us victory if we will confess our sins, if we will stay right before the Lord, if we will be humble, because God says he gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. Now, listen, this is wonderful. Now, I would have you consider the way in which I have my church that will be meeting that day. Church is absolutely not a building. And when I share the word of the Lord that God gave me to speak tonight on the radio, watch it come to pass in real time, because it concerns all the mega churches, all of the hirelings, all those who have robbed, pillaged, and plundered their flocks. And you will see in the coming months one of the most visible acts of judgment upon a major television evangelist and ministry unless he repents. And the Lord told me to tell them all tonight, and it'll spread through because, again, you know what's neat, Doug, about obeying the Lord? I don't have to worry about how it goes, where it goes, or who takes it where, because once it's released, then it's in God's responsibility to perform his word. Now, listen to this. Now I would have you to consider the way in which I will have my church to meet in that day. I will have you meet in small groups in the places that I will show you. Many times you will have to meet in secret because the authorities will be clamping down on all that they consider fanatics. Well, I'd be one of them. So great will be the boldness of my servants in that day, and so astounding will be their message and their works that the authorities will take action to try and stop the meetings. So my people, listen to this, you will have to hear my voice and do that which I show you. For I will direct you in all your ways, and I will show you when and where to gather together. Because of the great danger from both the hysterical mobs. Now, remember this, 1962 is a long time ago. What is it, 38, 51 years? And the frightened authorities, gee, we know what those guys are all about. Much pressure will be put on all those who tend to deviate from accepted patterns of behavior and from approved procedures of religious activity. I may not be right on the exact numbers, Doug, but 22,000 churches have already provided the DHS with a list of all their parishioners and basically noted anybody that brings up the end times prophecy or already dropped a dime on their parishioners. If you're going to a mega church, I can tell you this, you're already having the dime drop. Dropping a dime is just a euphemism for being a tattletale or being a paid snitch. So that's already happening. And I want to read this again. Because of the great danger from both the hysterical mobs and the frightened authorities, much pressure will be put on those who tend to deviate from acceptable patterns of behavior and from approved procedures of religious activity. Now listen to this. For even the religious world will seek to set up standards in that day of what is acceptable and is not acceptable to the welfare of the nation in the times of extreme crises. I say, those who dare to not conform will be considered as fanatics and harmful deviants and will be persecuted relentlessly by those who pose to be religious voice of the land. The Lord shared this with me many years ago. He said, Steve, unbelief will always persecute faith, and the unbelieving claimants to be Christians will be the ones demanding the death of those who are my children walk in faith. You think that came from me? Take it up with the Lord. Tonight, this isn't about even so much the messenger. It's never about that. It's about the message and the God who backs up his word, because my Bible, Doug, says that God is jealous over his word to perform it. Listen to this. So my true servants will be buffeted from all sides as the people who are crazed by fear seek every means available to silence them. The people as a whole refuse to listen to those who would call them to repentance and warn them of impending judgment in that day. Sound familiar? Gee, you know, I mean, it sounds like Northcom's got their statement of purpose carved out 51 years ago. Now consider also the danger that will come from natural disasters and man-caused eruptions in that day. For there will be many places where disaster shall strike suddenly, and battles will rage furiously. And were not my people warned, they would surely perish. So I will give warning, saith the Lord, to all who are in danger, that they may flee to places of safety. that the forces of destruction harm them not. They shall be told where to go and where to escape, saith the Lord. Now listen to this. From whence shall come my warnings? I will warn by vision and by appearance of my glorified ones, who shall be on constant duty in that day. They shall be empowered to bear my people up, if need be, and transport them to places of safety. And at times they shall be clothed and fed by supernatural means, as they are obedient to my voice and follow the instructions that are given to them. So fear not, my people, for I will surely keep you and protect you in that day. For even now all things are being ready, that nothing will be amiss with a great time of tribulation that comes upon the earth. The bottom line is tonight,
wow,
we're going to talk about the remnant. We're going to talk about the power of God. And then I'm going to lay out to you what the Lord had shown to me. And again, some of the stuff I've sat on for so long. And everybody who might be sweating about me naming any names, I could care less about names. I won't embarrass or put anyone on the spot. I'm talking about people that are in the military or in intelligence and all that. And for the record, Doug, you know my style since we've been good friends. I never want to know anybody's names. I never do. Someone said, well, how can you tell?
Yeah,
well, I can tell this, that every shill from hell says, oh, if he were really telling the truth, he'd tell their names. Look, I've had people I've talked to on Monday who were murdered on Friday. Most people don't know that. I've watched my, whatever, 24-inch monitor tell me of, a general's son being slaughtered by the enemy on my watch. I've tried to warn different groups, as I was requested around the world, that they were being set up for a trap. And so the point is that what I'm sharing tonight is this, is that do not follow a man. You started your statement tonight with it's hard to know who to trust. I'm going to say something. Trust no one but Jesus, and I'm serious. I don't ever ask anybody to trust me. I've said, you can trust this, but not trust me. I'm a man. I'm a sinful man. I'm subject to failure. On a Friday, someone's kissing my you-know-what, and on a Saturday, they're ready to shoot it off, chew it off, or bite it off, okay? You know, and that literally happened about a half a dozen times in the last 3 days. You know, the idea is this, is that God is jealous over his people to protect them. First and foremost, I feel that people have to understand there's a difference between the wrath of the Lord that's poured out on the unbelieving and the wrath of the devil that's poured out on the believing. While God has not appointed us to wrath, meaning his children, the children of obedience, the devil is, through his children of disobedience, seeking to destroy. I think I told the story on the radio. I was in... It was at Whitefish, at the Whitefish Lodge on the lake, 2 summers ago. And there was a guy that had surgically implanted horns, literally an Anton LaVey, very almost like a Three Musketeers, a mustache and a goatee. And he was wearing a shirt, and he was a big guy, said, "Your day's coming, Christian." Immediately I said, "Lord, this is not going to stand." And I asked the Lord, and you'll find out what he said. I'm not a confrontational guy, but in that realm, he torqued me off, okay? And I said to the Lord, I said, should I engage him, Lord? And I'll let that to the imagination. And I don't pick fights or anything. The Lord said, no, it is not yet time to engage him. And I felt like, well, Lord, I don't want to betray you. I don't want to let you down. But this guy, you know, he's just blasting around T-shirts that, in essence, I translated, your day to be slaughtered is coming, Christians. And Russ Dizdar can tell you point blank, better than I do, all the plans that these devils have. So let me share this. The plans that they have for our destruction are already in place. I have never seen a bigger group of people at risk who claim to love God and follow God, who don't even care a single iota about all the babies that have been slaughtered, who don't care or raise their voice or let alone stand up for Jesus. They don't care about all the Christians being slaughtered, whether they're Coptic Christians in Egypt or whether they're the Christians being burned alive in Nigeria. And they don't say or hold account, even the president, who they voted for, to basically stand up or say something against the slaughter of Christians. Go on YouTube and find out what he thinks of Christians. You'll be in for a surprise. The point that I'm trying to make is this, is that we as a nation are under judgment. we are now going to experience the full fury. And I'm going to give a bunch of scriptures because I said, Lord, I want your word to speak to the people. Lord, many people have listened to me for 22 years and they still don't get it. Please tonight, Lord, quicken your word so that they get it in a very real and sovereign visitation by the Spirit of the living God and by the presence of the messengers of God. In other words, Lord, if you've got to send your warring angels to get their attention, then, Lord, don't let any stops be in place of ministering to your people. Now, Doug, I want to bring everybody to a dream and vision that I put up. One of the things that I prayed since I first met Jesus, because I used to, you know, be pretty outspoken. I'm not outspoken like I used to be. And, you know, people think I'm outspoken now. When I first came to Jesus, I was on retro rockets. You couldn't stop me. You couldn't silence me. And if there was a group of people, they needed to hear about Jesus. I can remember being in history classes at Montana State University, art history classes, anthropology classes, and the professors would all take a swipe at Jesus. And boy, I was Johnny on the spot. And one guy, he's dead now, named Larry Bishop, used to try and absolutely engage me. He didn't care about the rest of the class. He had to prove that Christianity was dead and dumb. That's one professor that, by the way, died, and unless he repented, I'm sorry for where he ended up. But the point that I'm trying to make is, if Christians can't stand up now for Jesus, if they won't appropriate by faith the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are theirs, if they go to a dead church for entertainment purposes and somehow think by showing up on Sunday they're doing God a favor, if by ignoring the widows and orphans and ignoring the poor and ignoring the Vietnam vets and ignoring the brethren that are in prison, then, Doug, I got to tell you something. I'll quote James. He said, that man's religion is in vain. And unfortunately, the time of visitation begins tonight in such a very real way. I actually became astonished. When I become astonished, I kind of go silent and I go very sullen. And I lay it out before the Lord. And I said, God, you've got to give me multiple confirmations. And then you've got to give the people listening to this broadcast tonight, Lord, their confirmations. Because I'm going to tell your people not to listen to me, but to hear, or forgive me, not to believe me, but to listen and to take it to you in prayer, Lord. That's the only thing I know. It's kind of like in a football game, you know, when the quarterback or whoever hands off, and I don't know much about sports, but hands off, is it a running back or whoever carries the ball from the quarterback, you know? And what I'm trying to get tonight is understand, I'm handing you off to Jesus as I have been told to do in order for you to come to know him in a way that you haven't. And what I want to share, Doug, is the Lord spoke specifically to me and he said, Steve, many of the backslidden, many of the people who are so ashamed will come home tonight. I said, well, Lord, that's a marvelous thing because Jesus, you said that they that are well don't need a physician, but those are sick. For so those of you who are sick in body, sick in heart, sick in your mind, absolutely tormented, absolutely beat down, trodden underfoot, living on literally, you know, rations that would embarrass starving people, and there are people that are doing that, then I am praying tonight and believing the intercessors to pray with me that God's going to change everything. Now, I want to read this from my website, and then we'll get into it. And I'm going to get into the negative stuff, and in the second hour. Only the remnant who are sold out to Jesus will stand as God's judgment falls. And this is from a sister in the Lord. I was listening to a radio show tonight and heard you say about judgment. By the way, she was listening to our last show. The Lord has given me many open visions, dreams, and prophetic words. I received this 2 weeks ago. Some have embraced, but some have nearly crucified me. So here goes. You want to know the easiest way to get crucified, and I'm not making this up. Just tell someone what they don't want to hear in love and in the truth, and believe me, they would rather kill the messenger then hear his message. And I want to share something. This is a Jesus statement. And I put it up on my website, a year ago, and I sent it to you, Doug. No word of God spoken by a man of God to the people of God is ever received by the people of God at the time it's spoken by a man of God. There is no exception to that. The only exception you could even maybe quote would be, and they weren't considered the people of God, was Nineveh heard Jonah's pronunciation and repented in sackcloth and ashes. But again, no word of God spoken by a man of God is ever received by the people of God at the time it's given. Now, there are remnant people who can receive it. Now, I want you to think of that. What does that say to you, Doug? And then, Joe, I want you to chime in, if you would. What does that say to you?
It says to me a lot. You know, what's in 118th Psalm, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Corinthians talks about how the God will make foolish the wisdom of this world, and the foolish, the wise of the wise men, you know, will fall. And I think you're exactly right. You take everything to the Lord, no matter where it comes from or what it is. And we should only listen to men who put our faith and trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Exactly.
And based on what I just said, Doug, wouldn't you guess that God's telling us something pretty amazing there? That even the truth will not be received, let's just say this, immediately by most of those who say they believe in the truth. Is that a good way of saying it?
Oh, perfect. And I mean, you know, look, as an investigator, I've seen this, you know, when you give the truth to people, the undeniable truth, even when, you know, I've witnessed, Steve, cases where we've got videotape of someone, you know, engaged in fraudulent activity, and they look at you flat out and say, no, it's not true.
Until it happens to them.
Yeah.
They don't understand, and that's the mindset of most Americans.
That's very true.
But unfortunately, Joe and Doug, it's the mindset of most Christians, okay? Again, tonight I'm focusing on the believers, not the unbelievers, okay? I believe we'll have a multi-million listening audience, and I want everyone to know the word that I'm going to share is not unique to the United States. The word and promise to every believer on every continent that's listening to this, 60, 70 continents, everything I say comes from the word of God. And when I say that in the context that it applies to you, wherever you're at, just as much as it applies to us where we're at. But the nations are literally going to watch Mystery Babylon, or the daughter of Babylon, as John Price wrote, you know, in his book. They're going to watch, and they're going to be astonished at how severe the judgment is upon this land. And outside the remnant, God is going to make an utter end of it. You see, Doug, there is no political solution. There is no, people say, 2 Chronicles 7:14, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I told everybody, when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ 41 years ago, Jimmy and Carol Owens were going across the country in kind of a musical presentation calling people to repentance. Well, guess what? The Christian parents still kept their kids in public education and wondering why Johnny comes home with Billy and wants to marry him, or Mary brings home Linda and says, this is my new wife, or basically they get a call that Melissa just overdosed and died at Harvard General Hospital. They wonder what they've done wrong. Here's the deal. They didn't understand the plan, the long-range plan of the enemy. And Jesus said it simply, the thief comes to rob, to steal, and to destroy. Now, I'm going to go back to Becky, and God bless you, Becky, if you're listening. So this struck me so hard and so heavy. You don't have to believe it. I do. And I've had so many people say, I got the same thing the other night. And there are a lot of people that are afraid, okay? And tonight, I pray that Henry Groover's word, when he was on with Doug and I the very last time, I think it's in the last couple verses of the first chapter of Luke, that everyone who listens to this program from this night forward, who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, would absolutely serve God without fear all the days of their life. You know, it's pretty amazing when you've got to basically fight all the enemies you got to fight from hell, but then your biggest fight is from your backstabbing brethren. It's going to be that way. Jesus made it clear. Somebody said, well, I don't like that. I said, grow up and get over it. You know, I got a dear intercessor. God bless you, Manette. You know, this is a woman who basically is not going to allow any harm to come to her loved ones. And I love her spirit. I love her strength of conviction. It's funny that I used to say this, Doug, and I mean, there are some mighty men of God out there, and I'm not belittling them, but some of the women have the tenacity that, seriously, no one's going to hurt their nest or take any one out of them. Yet you contrast that to the saddest thing I know is that husbands and wives aren't together in this thing. That, you know, the husband wants to prepare, the wife doesn't. More importantly, though, it's the wife who does and the husband doesn't get it. And then the husband, you know, basically beats up on the wife. I don't mean physically, but absolutely makes her feel so low, or then he withholds, you know, the money so she can't prepare, but by golly, he's got the best tickets in the house when that baseball, football, basketball game comes out, or he needs a new lazy boy chair. So the point is that I want to read the rest of this because I've got to get this into the first hour. So Becky writes, Steve, so Friday night an overwhelming feeling came upon me. I instantly knew what it was, but I asked the Lord, what is this I feel? He replied, my hand is lifted. I immediately asked, what does that mean? Have I done something, Lord, that has grieved you? Do I need to make anything right? Then I proceeded to ask, are you saying that it's lifted off Danville? That must be where she lives. If so, where do you ask I go? What are you asking me? I then asked, is it off the nation? Have you lifted your protection from us? I cannot tell you the utter horror I felt. I know exactly how it feels to be in outer darkness. Boy, Becky, God bless you. So do I. I have never, ever encountered such an emptiness in my life. I have no words and still cry at the thought of that feeling. It was a literal feeling, not just words or seeing dark, but a literal feeling. I once explained to Doug when I asked the Lord to show me that hell was real, and he took me there. It's like the deepest blackness that you're in, but the deepest blackness is in you. In other words, it's not something you can keep out of getting, you know, covered in blackness. The blackness is in you, around you, on you, and moves through you. Next, he gave this word, and I released the word. Now, that's interesting that she would say that. The feeling left, as he explained, I was feeling exactly how some would feel in the very near future. And she quotes Isaiah 125, I will turn my hand against you, God speaking. I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove all your impurities. For I am about to lift my hand from you, your land, for you have smote me from your ways, your laws and your land, for you have blatantly said, we do not want the ways of the Lord. We will judge what we think is right and shall live accordingly. Because of this, I shall remove my hand. I do have a remnant, there's that word, who will remain, but only the remnant will hear my warning, my ways and my instruction. Those who have chosen to go their way shall indeed go their way, and they shall not even realize that I have departed from them until their life it becomes so evident that there is no other way. For I say, knowing about me is not knowing me. Isn't that interesting? Knowing about me is not knowing me. There's a lot of people that can tell you everything about them. And by the way, I have no control. Is my voice distorted?
No.
Is it coming through distorted? Okay.
No,
you know,
intermittently. Intermittently.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you know, I had one lady absolutely rake me over the coals because I wasn't breathing right and your sound quality was poor, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I basically told her, never email me again, but I can't control it. I don't have, a codex or anything. We're just doing this over the phone line, so I apologize. It will be on Doug's, archives. And by the way, Doug, on all the programs now that
I... number.
Yeah, okay.
For you, if you do disconnect.
Okay, I got it, Joe.
Sorry for interrupting you, Steve, but yes, indeed. And look, you're cutting out just a little bit. It's tolerable. People just listen, and you can deal with it. All right, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm back to what Becky said, okay? I shall remove my hand. I do have a remnant who will remain, but only the remnant will hear my warning, my ways and my instructions. Those who have chosen to go their way shall indeed go their way, and they will not even realize I have departed from their life until it becomes so evident that there is no other way. For I say, knowing about me is not knowing me. There was way more, but needs to be transcribed. Then this morning, as we got into worship, I got on the floor and began to tell our Father, you are so holy. I was not expecting him to reply, as I thought I was only going to worship him in adoration. Much to my surprise, he replied to me, yes, I am holy, and this is why your nation will see I have lifted my hand from you in the battle. I think she missed a period or something. For you in the Bible, when my nation turned and did wicked in my sight, they only went their way for a time before I caused them to eat of their ways. I then began, Becky writes, to weep uncontrollably as I literally began to beg God, please, God, no, please, please, no. Please, Lord, have mercy on us. Please, no, please, please, God. He then replied, for your nation is about to see a time that neither you nor your parents have ever seen. Darkness is upon your land, and the things that you have opened the door and said, we will do what is right in our eyes, will now turn on you. The door, maybe even gates, the gates we have opened, you know, the actions of your nation have caused a release that is nothing like you've ever seen. There is yet releases that will follow. Even so, I will have spots, now listen to this, where my presence is. It will be where my remnant abides. Only the remnant can withstand, for men's hearts will fail, for they will not know where to turn to find relief. Only those in my presence will know where to go and what decisions to make, for they are my remnant. Those are the ones who are my bondservants and follow my instructions. For you, see, the Church of America has not learned to wholly follow me, trust me, and are dead to self. That is a remnant. Those that serve me, it is those that serve me as it is convenient to them, halfway will turn on the remnant and persecute them. But this will be a great time for my remnant, for they are going to see me do miracles for them and through them, as they all will be the only light in your nation. I shall use this dark time to gather a harvest, I shall be the only solution, answer, and protection. I am the one true God, and I will turn this nation back to me, for your ways are coming to an end. The fruit of your ways is about to be revealed, but my remnant will shine. Arise and shine, remnant, for the glory of the Lord shall be revealed through you. There was more, but that would need transcribing as well. So this was my day. When I got up to speak, I could barely speak. What a day. I can tell you this, that when God speaks to you, you become astonished. That's why I had to call, like I said, I'd call Pastor Bruce and Susan, and I had to call Romy, because I literally, Doug, was not, I was really upset to have to bring it. I think you knew it. I said, Doug, God spoke to me and told me the handwriting's on the wall. We've been weighing the balances and found wanting. And I don't know what it means. I don't know what starts to happen tonight, if it's visible, invisible. But he said, tonight, the judgment is released. And look, I don't know what he said tonight. I don't know even what the date is. What is it, the 19th? I mean, I've got it on my computer. Again, it's not without biblical precedent that God's people, the ones that the message of the prophets and the watchmen are directed to, are the ones that mocked and scoffed. It's no, loss in history that they then would hire prophets to speak a good word. Oh, yeah, I'll make this simplistic. Oh, yeah, God says nothing bad's going to happen to you. And God has something to say about the prophets that prophesy after their own hearts and flesh, saying, everything's going to be okay. Or the prophets on TBM that say, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, never happens, but somehow they're mighty men of God. I literally had an old lady who was my former mother-in-law's sister slug me because I didn't like a certain long-haired, and I mean, seriously, I mean, it didn't hurt, of course, and I just shook my head and said, God bless you. But she was so furious that I would dare question the prophecies of a certain guy that his hair is down to his shoulders, and I don't have a problem with that, but I had a problem with the fact that everything he's prophesied hasn't come to pass, and yet he's one of the top paid guys that people pay to come in and tell them good things. So, you know, that's pretty telling to me, and that's what we're talking about tonight.
I've come to understand, Steve, and correct me if you think that this is incorrect, but the judgment of God is really a process, and it's it's an ongoing process. Is that something that sounds reasonable to you? In other words,
yes.
We look at what happened when God determined to punish the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for their sins, and we've seen that God is the ultimate judge of men's actions, and in that case, God passed judgment, issued a verdict, and carried out a sentence. the righteous among us here in the United States or in Canada or wherever people are listening, as the hand, the veil of protection is lifted, and in particular in the United States, are the righteous among us going to suffer equally with the unrighteous?
I would say this. When God pours out his judgment, he pours it out, and unfortunately the just suffer along with the unjust. But when I asked the Lord, and I think I said this on your show a number of weeks ago or months ago, I said, Lord, I don't like the scripture that says we are like sheep led to the slaughter. And you remember what I told you? The Lord finally gave me the answer after a lot of years and said, Steve, that's because the sheep don't keep their eyes on the shepherd and they wander into wolf territory. Those who stay close to the shepherd don't suffer the same fate as those who wander. Do you remember me saying that?
I do, and that's, wow. Thank you for saying that, because that makes me feel much better. I don't know if that should make me feel much better, but it does. It gives me some comfort in knowing that if we pay attention. We have a just father, and it would be just like a family situation in a way. To compare it to something that I could relate to, it would be a just father meeting out punishment, for the sins of the family members, the children, the 5 or 6 brothers, we'll say. And yeah, I understand this, but there is, and I think people can feel this, Steve. I think people can feel that something has changed. People are emailing me by the hundreds, and I mean that, where they can feel that something has changed and changed recently. So it's a spiritual discernment that we're witnessing, I believe.
Well, again, we're in the time of Joel chapter 1. I love the book of Joel because it's so amazingly distinct. Actually, somebody said, what's your favorite passage in the Bible? I said, well, it changes every second, because when I read the Bible, it's not like I'm just reading the Bible. It's like the Bible's reading me. And one of the things that people will find out is that God really deals through the prophet Joel, and by the way, some people pronounce his name Joel, okay? And he goes on to say this, that he said, that which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust has left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left has a caterpillar eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep and howl, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He has laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast away. And then it goes on, Joel says, lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. Be ye shamed, O husbandmen, and by the way, that would be the pastors. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, the fig tree languishes, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field, are withered away. Now listen to this, Doug, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. If I could say the one thing, and I can say amen to that on a personal level, you know, the point is that the sadness of watching what has happened to this land, the absolute sorrow of knowing for 41 years, in my case, how it plays out, even to the point of being taunted by the Luciferians, I've said that so many times. And the thing is that what saddens me the most is that the ability to discern good and evil seems to have gone from the people of God, and they've settled into the political correct realm. And political correctness, I'll make it real simple, friendship with this world is enmity with God. I worry about any pastor that shows up on Oprah knowing that she basically is a syncretist. I worry about the pastors that basically preach on Sunday but use the Comfort Sisters Monday through Saturday. Comfort Sisters, by the way, is a sanctioned prostitute that keeps the men of God happy. This doesn't mean all men of God do that, but in certain cultures it's expected and it's fulfilled. The point that I'm trying to make right now tonight for everyone is this, that judgment is in the land, that the joy is gone, that the time of a husband and a wife being able to think about their future, their retirement, their training up their kids, sending them to, college, helping their kids get an education. I think that people have got to understand that that which was once such a blessing to our nation is now taken from our nation. Everything we have been blessed with and taken for granted is now taken from us. And that's an interesting statement. You know, I'll make another quailism. That which you take for granted will most assuredly be taken from you. That which you are grateful for can never leave you or be taken from you, because your heart has already expressed thanksgiving to the King of Glory and the God of Heaven who has given you so much. And I tell people, I said, if you're bummed out, mad, angry, fed up, torqued, ready to check out, want to leave the planet, don't kill yourself. Just sit down and make a list of the good things that have happened in your life. And ask yourself this, even those of you that are mad at God, could it just be possible that the Lord intervened at that point in my life for this point tonight? I know the despair out there, Doug. I know what it's like to despair, even beyond life. I know that. And I don't understand all the reasons why, we go through what we go through. But I know that through it all, Jesus takes us through it all. And I've told a story about Mary Juarez, one of the most amazing and wonderful women of God in the world. Basically, I think she was 5'2 to 5'3. A woman who walked in so much authority with God, when she'd walk into a room, and usually churches, this will tell you a lot, the demons would cry out. And I watched evil spirit-possessed people that six grown men and all over 200 pounds couldn't even control. And that little lady walked in with the power and authority of Jesus. And I know what the authority is. And so I know what God wants for us. The reason there are so many demon-possessed people, I'll make it easy for you, is because there are so many poultry in the pulpits, okay? And a poultry is another word for a chicken. And the poultry and the puppets don't want to have, number one, God forbid their salary would be cut off. Number two, their prestige would be cut off. And number three, their retirement would be gone. So the point is that as long as that's the goal and that's the purpose of these guys to stay in office or stay in the pulpit, people are going to be vacuum cleaned. And I'm going to say this. The mega ministries, the ones that have exalted themselves at the expense of the people, the ones that have pillaged and plundered the sheep, the ones that it was never enough and never could be enough because it's lust that drives them, not the love of God. They have a short period to repent. And if they do not repent, their mega mansions, we'll just go there right now because that's where I'm at, they are going to be taken from them. And here's what the Lord said. You tell these ministers and the mega ministers, the guys on TV, you give back to the flock. Sell what you have stolen. Replace the wool on the sheep. Bind up the brokenhearted. Feed them. Heal them. And he said, if you will do this and publicly repent, then I, the living God, will pour out my spirit through you, on you, and in you, and miracles, signs, and wonders will follow from your ministry. And he said, Steve, look for a certain ministry. He told me, I won't tell it. He said, I don't want you to speak it forth. That is going to fall. It's going to be so tumultuous and perilous that the people who live on Christian TV, or quote, that which masquerades as Christian TV, Doug, are going to be shocked beyond anything they have yet to be shocked with. First Peter tells us that judgment begins at the house of God. And what happens? Once God's done judging his house, that's when he basically goes through. So I'm saying to this one more time before the break. Those of you who have mega ministries that are on television, you are to sell your building. Somebody said, well, who are you to tell me to do that? I'm nobody. But I'm telling you what God is saying. You want the power. You want his glory. You want to return to the old ways. Then give back to the sheep. Give back to the sheep. Give back to the sheep. Protect the sheep. Love the sheep. Surround the sheep. Feed the sheep. Clothe the sheep. and keep them close to you, and let no devil from hell, no program from hell, no turn on your sheep to the federal authorities, let none of that take any of your sheep out of your hands. I'll tell you what, you find a man who's a shepherd that will absolutely tear someone's throat out. I'm saying figuratively, not literally, that would even touch the sheep, and someone who's teaching the full counsel and the whole counsel of God, you have found a rarity in the earth, and God will raise up more men and women, and a lot of men and women who have been put on the sidelines for 20, 30 years, and they're still alive. You're alive because the purpose of God isn't through with you, and he's calling you forth even this night. So, Doug, when we come back from the break, we'll get into the bad stuff.
And, Steve, you said something so important about being grateful for what we have. It's amazing that the things of this world that are free are the most valuable, but the things people care about more are the things worth money that are really worthless in the end. And just on a final note before we go to the break, if you want to call the alternative number, there's the number in your email box. You can get away from the Blog Talk server. So
yeah, Steve, in fact, you might even come in a little bit clearer because we are being there's a situation here where so if you don't mind doing that, that would be great during the break.
No, I'll hang up, Doug, and should I call back in what, 4 minutes, 3 minutes?
Yeah, sure. You give us 3-4 minutes, call back, and we'll pick up right where we left off. Jeff?
Thank you.
You listen.
All right, my friend.
You're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report with a very, very special guest, Steve Quayle, this Tuesday, March 19th, 2013. And Obama's on his way to Israel, or is already there. We'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to this program tonight, and I want to extend a very special, warm thank you to one of our favorite sponsors, Granlund Firearms. That's Granlund Firearms, and they are located in the beautiful province of British Columbia, a hunter's paradise. Folks, if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, click on the Granlund Firearms banner on the right-hand side of our page, and from there, it'll take you to their website. By the way, some extremely gorgeous pictures of scenery. They've got, right now, a great inventory. They've updated their gun stock list, their supplies. You can find what they have in stock on their website. Carl Granlund has also written an extremely interesting and very entertaining book. That man can write. I got to tell you, I love his stories. I'm not a big hunter, but I do like stories of the outdoors and such. And this is definitely one book that you will not regret having. It's called Treed by the River. It's a second edition. It's about cougar hunting on Vancouver Island, and that's available via the book link or books link at that website. And that's a second edition by Carl Granlund. And Carl and his wife, Lori, great people. They will help you out in all of your firearm needs. And I'm going to tell you, I've heard from a number of people who have purchased firearms in the United States from Canada and were able to do it through the federal firearm licensed dealers in their area without any hitches whatsoever. And they got a good deal on top of it. That said, again, I'd like to direct everyone to Granlund Firearms of British Columbia. Sign their guest book. Tell them how much you appreciate their support of the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman & Hagman Report or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's canadafreepress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Pau, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at canadafreepress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth squads specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this very special Tuesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. As always, this is a live broadcast. That is, of course, unless you're listening to this at a later time via our archive. We have with us our very special guest, my brother, our brother, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. That's stevequayle.com. Folks, bookmark that site. Check out the alerts, the Q alerts, the dreams and visions section of that website. Of course, all of the headlines, the stories of the day. I'll tell you what, everything on that website is extremely important. I check it two, three times a day. And some of the photographs, by the way, that Steve has taken and also has furnished on his website are just unbelievably beautiful, or, I mean, breathtaking. You just have to check those out as well. And I just want to say that it's our pleasure to have Steve back with us. The topic of tonight's program is, of course, the handwriting on the wall, which is a reference to the book of Daniel, chapter 5. This is where we're at. The veil of protection has been lifted. Steve, are you back with us?
Yep, I am. And before I go into the bad stuff, I want people to understand something. There is a time and season for everything, Ecclesiastes says. Obviously, the Birds have one of the best songs, I think, out there. I love it, Turn, Turn, Turn. And tonight, I think God is saying, turn, turn, turn to me with your whole might, with all your strength and all your being. But Daniel chapter 12 is critical to lay the background for what we're going to talk tonight, because Daniel is the prophet that leads us to Revelation. Nobody like him has been on the scene since him. Obviously, Jesus is the ultimate prophet, but we have the ability now to see what many of the prophets and the priests and the followers of God and the mighty men of God and all those long to look into were the times we now live in. And they believed, God, that these days would come, even though their time and their appointment at time and space may have been 1,000 years ago, 300, 400, 500 years ago. They all believed we would see this time. So Daniel chapter 12, it's only 13 verses, but it's really important. And at that time, Michael shall stand up. That is the archangel Michael, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never once since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people, God's people, shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. That's the Lamb's book of life. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And listen to this. A couple verses, and again, God tells him again, and in verse 9, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Well, the seals were literally broken by the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. And Doug, well, we're hearing these trumpeting sounds all over the earth that are unnerving to a lot of people, yet we are the ones that are commanded to blow the trumpets, to assemble the army of the Lord. And I have never been in the U.S. military, that's obvious, but we know that in the old days, trumpets were signals, and even in the old times, the old battles throughout history, to either go forward, to retreat, or stand your ground, they had different sounds for different events and different expectations of behavior. So when we're talking about Daniel, we aren't in the time of the end. And what was interesting to me when the Lord gave me the vision he gave me at the end times, he said he was only going to allow me to recall it. Obviously, God is, in his wisdom, knew that if I didn't even know who John the Baptist was or Joseph's ministry, there'd come a time when I'd have to learn a lot. And because of his graciousness in my life, I was able to, after becoming a new Christian, literally spend 3 hours to 4 hours a day in prayer every day for years, and listening to Derek Prince tapes, Bob Mumford tapes, Ern Baxter tapes, all of, I would say, some of the greatest teachers in history, that Leonard Ravenhill, some of these names are foreign to all you, but I would say once again, for all of you that basically feel cheated on Sunday, that still go to a carnal church, one where there's no power, no preaching, no conviction, no repentance, go on YouTube and look at Derek Prince's videos. His video, There's Power in the Blood. I would say this, if there's one thing I would attribute to Hawk that is so remarkable, is he wasn't always a Christian. He started listening to me. He gave his heart to Jesus. He came out of knowing a whole lot of stuff about a whole lot of things. And if there's anybody who has memorialized these words in history, there's power in the blood. No one has used it more than Hawk. And some of you are picking it up. That's good. Because we're told in the Word of God we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto death. So now I have to talk about the stuff I don't want to talk about. When God began to give me all these different glimpses, it was so disturbing because, again, understand, I had just accepted Jesus hours before that. I had basically been thrown on my face. I couldn't stand until he lifted me up. I have waves of the Shekinah going over me, and this drives people crazy. Look, I didn't choose him. He chose me. I was presented the gospel. I said only the Lord, only God could forgive me. I asked Jesus in. Hal Lindsey explained to me that Jesus was the Son of God. But one of the revelations I got, I thought, isn't this odd that God, who created us, and the devil who deceived us and caused us to sin, would die in our place? So that's the thing I think that God worked on, because he gave me that understanding. And the point is that we're now in a time frame where those things are coming to pass, so I won't hold back. Doug, I saw millions of people that were absolutely, looked like scavengers. They absolutely were tattered and torn. There were no cars. They were walking on once were highways and freeways. There was stuff coming up through them. I saw the gangs, and there were no gangs on the order of these kind of gangs, absolutely killing, raping, murdering, and plundering without any mercy. I saw the cannibal markets where human beings were being displayed as meat and being sold as meat. I saw what they were doing to the children. I saw the horrible things that were being done, so horrible that, you know, I can't go there except to say that if you think killing little kids to get their jollies is what they're doing, I can only tell you this, they will spare no children. I saw a famine so great and so far-reaching that I couldn't believe my eyes. And again, understand, I'm a new Christian at this time. And the Lord spoke to me at that part of the dream and said the two most precious commodities would be food and fresh water. That's why I've said on the years, I think the very first show I ever did on KHNC on talk radio 20 years ago, whatever, was on the coming water shortages. And that's pretty good for being 21 years ahead. And that was before Team Boom Pickens and all of the corporate, you know, mega corporation billionaires were buying up all the water rights in the world. And then I saw the strangest plagues. I wasn't into zombies at the time. Of course, I had seen the few zombie movies there were, but I saw the strangest plagues that would affect so many people. And it wasn't just killing literally millions, Doug. It was killing tens of millions. And it was so horrific. It was like eating the people alive. Again, take this to the Lord.
Wow.
I saw the earthquakes that were so great that there was no way to measure them on the scale. I saw places that once were completely disappear. I saw a suffocating atmosphere. When you say it was so thick you could cut it with a knife, imagine the worst, Beijing, China, and then multiply that by 100. It was like the only way you could breathe was to get down on your hands and knees and hope between the ground space and the space of the atmospherics. And I saw people losing it. I saw people going mad, and they went crazy, and they turned on each other. And they turned on each other that to say they eat each other alive, again, is an understatement. I saw cruelty, and I won't go into all the habits. I will read Brother Bob's vision from March 10th of 2007, the parts I've never read on the radio. People have read it, and people busted my chops for even talking about it on radio. You see, it's amazing, isn't it? People aren't offended by 60 million little babies having their spines snipped, as is on the front of Drudge, or having a pair of scissors ran up the back of their head, or all the horrific things, yet they get offended if I use the word crap. Well, it's a good thing I don't have the ministry of offending people, because I can do a whole lot better than that, okay? But I won't. I saw women placed in rape camps, okay? I don't need to describe that. I saw the most, Lord, please don't let me go beyond where you want me to go. I saw the most horrific, hideous, and heinous things being done to women. I saw the same thing being done to men by other men. And it wasn't just, you know, with body parts. It was every form of conceivable gore. When I read tonight, Doug, what I read, and I struggled with this, and thank God that there are prayer warriors out there praying. Manette was praying and fasting all day. Bruce just came off a fast for this show for me. Susan was with a prayer meeting, and they saw literally fire surrounding me, and I'm saying, boy, thank God. I mean, it's nice that God's fire surrounds me, because I think a lot of people would like to have broiled bird for lunch, you know. The point is that it was so impressive to me that tonight, that one prophecy I read by Jay Earls shows up on my computer after it was lost. I mean, there's no way it can be there because it didn't exist in my email, okay? It just didn't exist. So I'm saying that I got the hunch that God wants this said. And again, you guys, when I turn to Micah chapter 3, I just went through it. I want to read this one more time. And I said, here I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and you princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil? Well, substitute for the princes of the house of Israel, O pastors in America. who pluck their skin off from them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off of them, and they break their, in other words, skin them alive, and their bones and chop them in pieces, as for the pot and the flesh with the cauldron. Cauldron, that brings to memory a certain group of people, doesn't it? I'm talking about witches and warlocks. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. In other words, there'll come a time when the word of the Lord will go out and tell them and show them the other ways, but it'll be too late, just like that first word I read, and just like the word that Becky shared. Now, how about this? Therefore, night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, that it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly, here it is, people, this is the promise of the living God. But truly, I am full of the power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Now, that's a powerful word from the Lord. It's an incredible word from the Lord. And when I received this from Al Cuppet, Mr. C, it was 7 years ago, I think, March 10th, and I was so bothered by it, Doug, I wouldn't put it up on my website. People could send it to me, but again, this is one of those things I said I would never read on the air. Well, never say never, because again, this is Brother Bob, and some of this stuff I've never seen. Other of the stuff just is a second-party witness to what I have seen. If you want this, I'll get it to you somehow, but I still won't put it up. Maybe I'll put a link to it and you can click on the link, but I'm hesitant, okay? Martial law and the foreign police. 7 years ago, Doug, 7 years ago. It had come to the shores of America quicker and earlier than anyone in our own White House, Congress, Senate, and in the shadow government had expected. They were caught in their own lair and trapped, and realized it was going to take them with it, which is one of the panic reasons why martial law was called. Now listen to this. Now what happened in Louisiana, more specifically New Orleans, and how did the local law enforcement react? Well, listen to this. Massive trucks, if they were not dark olive in color, they were almost black. And the men that came out of these trucks were in full black uniform. Many of them spoke what sounded like either Mandarin or Chinese. 7 years ago. I'm adding the 7 years ago. Their facial features that could be seen through that open slot or slit where the eyes are called a balaclava were obviously Oriental. And there were also those who were very large. The only description of the nation that fit, one was Russian and the other was German. I think what he was seeing, Brother Bob, was seeing super soldiers. Again, you don't believe in super soldiers? I could care less. Go look them up. And now he's writing to Al Cuppet. This is Brother Bob. Al, they went in, and on the sides of the truck, you could see it looked like it was either a plate 3x4 inches that had been screwed in so they could take it out, or something could be laid over the surface like a laminar replace, maybe like a magnetic calendar as you put on a refrigerator. And he said, I listened to this. This is kind of, they're going back and forth in the dissertation. Long story short, the colored plates were on the bumpers, the cab doors, on the rear walls, the trucks, and the rear doors. These colored plates or swatches were, you could change the color as required. They were red, they were blue, and they were yellow, and they were green. Allies, we know the Nazis, red, blue, and green. However, about 5 months ago, I received an intelligence report saying that the list maintained by Homeland Security were now red, blue, yellow, and green. Bob had no prior knowledge of yellow or green colors. And for the record, Doug, no one knew that until the man, Gary, who was the head of the Western United States for the Environmental Protection Agency, made that stuff known to me, and then he was murdered, okay? So to all the shills and all the critics out there, I would only say this. You guys need to repent. You just need to repent. Because some of you are busybodies, and some of you women are Jezebel, and you need to repent and get right with Jesus. Because you're not going to make it, no matter how self-righteous you are, or that God has sent you up as a diviner or whatever, a assayer, one woman told me, and I thought, yeah, well, I'll agree with the first three letters of that statement. The point is this. This is really important. And in order to bring the order they sought to establish, they were ordered to round up people and take people to places where they could be safe. But when they went into the houses, they did not knock on the doors. And so you see now that law enforcement will either kick them in or take this iron unit that has handles on the side, a ram, and break the door in. Well, he said that when they came to places, houses, condos, apartment, they had lists of people. And the list of the colors already identified. Red list means you're instantly terminated. In other words, you're assassinated on the spot or taken out to where a ditch is and, you know, bang, bang, and it is a Maxwell silver hammer, okay? Now, listen to this. The red lists were immediately to be eliminated. The blues would be questioned, get all the information extracted, and exterminate them. Yellows were to be decided on. Those showed to the driver and his crew where they were going. They knew. They already had their assignments. Let's take a great big farm truck, okay? And they were deep olive green, so dark they were almost black. Think of the Red River Valley, big, huge beet trucks that have sides. They're made of wood that can go up really high. It sounds to me like Bob doesn't understand all the different military trucks like Deuce and a Half and all that stuff, but the point is that that's what he's seeing. Well, these were so high that the people could not clamber out of them because over the tops were either canvas tarps that were the same color as the truck, or most of the trucks had barbed wire going back and forth over the tops. Interesting, how? Now, if there was a red crew, they treated these people very harshly. They didn't care what they did to them. The blues the same way. The yellows, they treated with a little more civility. But, brother, it was, look at it this way. When these people came out of the trucks, they knew they were going for the red list. They were like wild packs of wolves. The same way with the blues, only were like a lioness pack going after them because they knew that they had to keep them alive long enough to get the information. Yellows, again, with a little more civility. Now they knew, and again, this is how it reads, so I'm not struggling with this, but just trying to follow it in order. Now they knew who the true born-again Christians were. How they know is not shown to me, but they knew. They also knew who the political dissidents were. I put those in quotes because these are the ones speaking out against the New World Order, against anything connected to the New World Order. These are the people who are the flag-waving, rah-rah-rah Americans. Well, that's his definition. I don't agree with that, but that's his definition. Now, here comes the gruesome part. At this gruesome part, when these men went into the homes of the Christians, whoever was ahead of that crew, and I'm just going to share a little bit of what was done. If they came into a single occupancy, man or woman, let's say this is a man, Al, they beat the man mercilessly. I mean, they were knocking his teeth out, they were breaking ribs, they were quote-unquote having fun with them, and they were dragging these types of men out and throwing them like a sack of grain in the back of the truck. The men could not sit, walk, or stand. The women they raped and ravished until they could not stand. They were shown in their nakedness bleeding from being raped. Some of them, if they were pregnant, they beat that woman's baby until the baby could not survive or was already done. Or one of them would come up with a very sharp knife after raping her and throw up against the wall. One would hold her, and there was a man on each leg and a man on each arm, so that she was fought against the wall and basically, take the baby out of her womb. They'd do a, involuntary C-section. It goes into deeper detail. I won't go there. If she said she would deny, they put the knife in her hand and said, "Prove it. Do to your baby what we are going to do." Oh, my gosh, that sounds like something they would do. And some of them just passed out. They could not do it. Well, then they took her away. If she did it, they laughed in her face and mocked her for denying her God. Then they threw her in the truck. In other words, even if you do what they say, you don't get away. If this was a man with a wife, they stripped her in front of him. Now you will deny your God, or you're going to watch your wife get raped until either she is insane or goes unconscious. Now, the man, if they had him stripped, if he denied, they stood her up as if they're going to release her, and one of them slipped up behind and put a small caliber pistol in the back of her neck, aimed it up, pulled the trigger, and blew the brains out. Now, that's where I'm going to stop, okay? Because it gets worse than that. And again, this is the stuff that I said, and I said, "Lord, why does this stuff have to even be told to the people of God?" And the Lord said, "Steve, if they'll read my word, they'll already be prepared, because this is the time period we're entering into, Doug. This is the time period that this is going on. Now, this is all in the natural. And the next hour, if we get to it by the grace of God, how do you deal with a lack of faith with the things you can see? How do you deal with denial of the things you know? How is it that all this stuff is coming upon this country, and nobody seemingly, and let me say this, I'm talking about nominal Christianity now, not phenomenal Christianity. There will be a difference. There's nominal Christianity and there's phenomenal followers of Jesus. And to the phenomenal followers of Jesus, his words will be as true as when he spoke this. In my name, you shall do even greater things than these. The book of John basically states that of all the books written in the world, couldn't contain everything that Jesus did. So, you know, I'm telling everybody this. If you want to use the title Christians, I would change it to a blood-bought follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, who follows the Lamb of God wherever he goes, and put in as many caveats as you want, because the word Christian has become meaningless. Oh, and then let's talk about the bride of Christ that is without spot or wrinkle. Again, Doug, I don't know the timing of all these events, but one brother just sent me an email and said, Steve, isn't it interesting the night you're on Doug Hagman saying tonight everything changes and the judgment of God is released? And for people that don't think that God lets men release the judgment of God, he said, I'm going to do all these things for Israel. I'm going to pour clean water on them. I'm going to give them new hearts. I'm going to do this. I'm going to let them know me, cause them to know me. But I will yet be inquired of by the house of Israel to do this for me. In other words, God is going to wait for their prayers to arise to heaven, even though he's already determined to do it. And so, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, it's not I can't say a meteor falls out of the sky and hits L.A. You know, maybe Washington would be a better shot, but L.A. The bottom line is I don't know that. But the bottom line is the scripture is, and Susan gave me this, I believe was, yeah, Isaiah 26:9, when the judgments of God are in the land, that's when people repent and turn to him. Without judgment, Doug, there can be no repentance. And I, you know, we get into the time of David's prayer of repentance. I mean, how is it that David could be called a man after God's own heart? And if you want to read David's psalm of sinning against the Lord, you know, you can read Psalm 51. I mean, he had sex with Bathsheba. He basically coveted his neighbor's wife. He had Bathsheba's husband killed because David had impregnated her. He basically numbered the children of Israel, which God told him not to do. And yet in all this stuff, God said, basically, he was a man after his own heart. So the thing is that there's a lot of people out there listening to us tonight that need to be restored. You know, here's the basics of repentance. You appeal to the mercy of God and ask that he grant you the spirit of repentance, number one. Be honest with him. You don't think he doesn't know what you're doing? I've learned when I sin, and as my intercessor Romy said, and when you sin, Steve, you sin big. Well, and the Lord also knows that I repent. I never do anything half-hearted. I have held back, Doug, because I don't want to scare anybody, but when the Lord says it's time to release it, that's what I'm doing. You need, and I need, and we need to understand the severity of sinning against God. For one sin, we deserve eternal damnation. But God says, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them as white as wool. Somebody tried to ask me the other day, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? He said, as much as it takes. In other words, the answer to that is infinite. Have I sinned an infinite amount of times against God? Well, probably more than most people can count. Has he forgiven me? Absolutely. Will he cleanse me from all righteousness, all unrighteousness? Absolutely. But then we go to God with no excuses or justification. Well, you know, Lord, I only did it because, or no becauses. Then you say to the Lord, Lord, I need to change. I want to change. Help me to change. And recognize, finally, that forgiveness is not deserved, but it's by grace alone. I can't do anything. I can't pray long enough. I can't praise long enough. I can't thank you enough times. But I don't have to do that, Doug. I simply say, God, I receive your forgiveness based on the word of God. Come home, backsliders, tonight. Come home, those of you who are bitter, who are abandoned, who are hurt, who are broken. Come back to Jesus. Because he will receive you. He will heal you. And what the Lord told me today, he said, Steve, many broken vessels are going to become the greatest outpouring, or they're going to receive the greatest outpouring because they didn't try and put themselves back together. They yielded to me, and I built them into better vessels than they could have built for themselves. Bob Mumford said it the same way. He said, let the Holy Spirit crucify your flesh. When men try and crucify their flesh, they use rubber nails and rubber hammers. In other words, we don't do it. It cannot be done by willpower. It is a sovereign move of the Spirit of God. So David was the poster child of repentance. He's a man after God's own heart. Moses murdered an Egyptian. Obviously, you see what I love about the Word of God, Doug? These are real men and women. Do they have all their stuff together? Absolutely not. Are they good little churchgoers, you know? I mean, come on, give David credit. The guy's out circumcising Philistines, okay? And I don't think anybody wants to go out on a good day and basically get in a sword fight with the hundreds of men greater than you and go then after you've killed them all and circumcise them, you know? Actually, I guess the eighth day doesn't matter if you're dead, huh? But the point is that really happened, okay? So God's word doesn't say, you know, well, you know, David had a boo-boo. No, David sinned. David paid a horrible price for his sin, but he also knew that God's mercies are new every morning. And Psalm 91, again, every Christian, I have to pray this, I should pray it every day, but create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. That was David's prayer after sinning. It was David's prayer even into his old age, because he understood that the heart of a man can only be changed by the Spirit of God and the grace of God. And that's why so many people will not receive the love of God, because they feel they have got to do something to earn it. I mean, how many watchtowers can Jehovah's Witnesses give out, you know? Especially if there's a couple million of them and there's only supposed to be 144,000. Sounds to me like somebody's got to sell a whole lot more magazines.
We were bought with a price, but not ye, the servants of men. That is from 1 Corinthians 7:23. That price was Jesus on the cross dying for our sins, and we always need to remember that. He will take care of us. If he died on the cross for us, he is not going to forsake us, you know, now. We need to put our trust and our hedge our protection in him, everything in him, and glorifying him in all we do.
Right, and again, Joe and Doug, I want to make sure everybody understands what I'm talking about happening in the United States has happened in Africa, has happened in Asia. And again, I think what was it, Chinese said they've aborted 365 million little babies. Well, let me share how God's judgment is going to fall. As to their sins, so will the specific judgments be. That's why God can only lead the people of God who are listening to him at the time, because there's going to be a time and a place to go. And that's got to be the key that we all seek for, is obedience. I used to tell people, I said, I'd be happy if I just obey and quit trying to argue with the King of Glory. I have since quit trying to argue. I'm into the obeying realm. God says his ways are not our ways, nor his thoughts our thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways above our ways. Look, we can only see from time and space and the revelation that God gives us. We've got to understand that God is going to do what is best for us. He's going to watch over us. He's going to protect us, or he's going to take us home. And again, that's the one thing that I'm praying with, that God would give people such a sense of victory, such a taste of victory, such the power of victory, that they can walk and serve God all the days of their life without fear. You know, I'm telling you guys, it's a threatening thing when a predator comes over you at 100 feet. First thing you do is go, oh, crap, I wish I had something that could take that down. That's what I thought. I don't, okay? But that's what my thought was. And then I rebuked it in Jesus' name. And obviously, if it had a Hellfire missile on it with my initials on it, I would have been toast. And so the point is that I never lose track of the fact that this day, and I would tell everybody this, you need to live in the eternal now, knowing that you've only got today to make a difference for Jesus. I don't know about next week, next year. Obviously, I have exceeding great and precious promises that are in the power of God to fulfill. But there are many people, Doug, that are on here that are, you know, on the earth on a Friday, and they're gone by Sunday or Monday. You follow me?
Yes,
most people, unless they're told by the Lord, you know, or they're, you know, basically saying the doctors are given a prognosis of death in so many weeks or whatever. Excuse me. The point is that they're in a position to not necessarily know. And that's what I put up a prophecy by Glenda Lomax, and I took it down, and somebody asked me why I did that, because I thought she was unclear. My good friend John David, who was friends with her, called her, and she said, that's not what I meant. She was saying that, get ready, many people are going home, because I think what you just asked me, do the righteous, Doug, you asked me basically, do the righteous suffer along with the unrighteous? The answer to that is absolutely yes. Do people have the choice to stay in Sodom and Gomorrah or come out? Absolutely yes. Then I get emails from, you know, well-meaning do-gooders saying, well, we just get enough people praying, God will spare judgment upon the United States. I can tell you point blank, number one, God will protect his people, God will cover his people, God will provide for his people, but the United States judgment is a fait accompli. 15 years ago, I started saying,
Let me ask you this, because I've got Ken in Enid, Oklahoma, and Robert from Central America asking kind of the same questions, and I've got the same question too. What are we as Christians instructed to do? Obviously, you know, we are awaiting this, or going to be experiencing this judgment, but what are we appointed to do here? What should we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, do? Right now,
First thing is get as close to him, learn to hear his voice, and then seek his will for your life. In the meantime, you can do the basics. You can worship God, and this is critical, okay? And you can basically do what Jesus said. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Ask the Lord to show you who's got a willing heart and open ears, and go after them. The point is that, you know, and Doug, I have to get to the guillotines because this is critical for tonight. Because at some point, there are a whole lot of souls that are going to be beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, okay? Not a lovely way to go, as if, you know, basically as opposed to dying in your sleep or something. But if people haven't gone to my alert, please go to my alert. And read the vision about the National Guardsmen in 2005-2006 that saw the guillotines and the 14 crates, because it's very important that you see that, because let me tell you the stories of how the guillotines, a lot of those stories came about. One of my friends, Louis, was a test pilot for one of the biggest defense aerospace companies, and I think he's probably 10 years younger than I am, so he'd be 51 now, 52. His brother was the head of the longshoremen in Long Beach, and we're talking now close to probably 18 years ago. When his brother was in Long Beach, he basically was overseeing the unloading of a Taiwanese freighter. One of the crates basically either slipped out of the net or something happened to the net, fell through the net, and crashed onto the dock or the deck, the loading dock. Louis's brother was there and literally, how do I say this, was flabbergasted at the cantilevered guillotines that had definitely been unloaded by the ship. The point being is that story went around. And then at Fort Huachuca, I'm trying to spell that one if you don't know how to spell it, Fort Huachuca, a gentleman I knew by the name of Tex, former CIA agent, he was known as Maverick in the intelligence community, talked about all the guillotines and guillotines that had been placed at the different military bases. This would have been 1985, 1986. Flash forward to the year probably 2007. These are all stories told to me by people I personally know. These are not, you know, somebody writing about, you know, talking to a German or whatever. The point is, this is people I know. A very high-ranking general above 4 stars, if you don't believe there are higher generals than 4 stars, you don't know what really goes on in the military, told me he was at Fort Hood in Texas, and because he flies everything and anything pretty much, I guess, in the universe, he had a special, if you will, way to look underground and look into buildings. In case you don't know what the capability of, they're astounding. And when he flew out to this area in Fort Hood with another general who wasn't even cleared with his classification to fly in the cockpit, In other words, you can have a four-star general who's got one clearance and, you know, a bunch of clearances, but then you can have a four-star or a five-star that has way more clearances and has Majestic and Cosmic. Those are clearances, and they have levels in those clearances. And they flew out, he said, to kind of an ordinary-looking farmhouse, but he said it was that was just the front. He said it had lace curtains, and it looked like anything you'd see in, you know, an American farmhouse, like I said, kind of like Little House on the Prairie, that kind of a thing. It had railroad tracks that led up to it that had been covered with dirt, okay? In other words, the only time you're going to see those, and those of you who are on Google Earth may want to just, if it's not blocked, maybe it'll be blocked now the minute I ask you to do this, go look at Fort Hood and look for on the, you know, as far as the boundary is, I believe, look to the northeast or the northwest and look for anything that might look like railroad tracks beneath the sand. The general who wasn't cleared to fly in the cockpit of the specially equipped helicopter started getting really nervous, even though my friend had higher classification and higher clearance than he did, by a mile. And he said, Steve, he said the underground, the guillotines were all set up. He said the catching containers, and hola, El Doctor, if you're listening to this broadcast right now, you'll remember our conversation. The point is that when he went into such detail, and that was in 2005, 2006, somewhere around there. So, Doug, those three stories have gone around the Internet. They've been embellished. Maybe there are other stories, you know, but I can tell you four distinct times I was told. Now, why is this critical? Because I'm going to take everybody now to my website. And, again, the most important part of my website are the dreams and vision and the alerts. That's what I will put up first and foremost. If I wake up at 2 in the morning and I can't sleep and someone sent me a dream or a vision and I'm solely responsible, but take it to the Lord. If there's something there you can't receive, take it to the Lord and ask Him to reveal to you, is this Lord of you or is it not? And if you don't get an answer, then just say, Lord, show me when I can handle it, what this is all about. And so I want to read this, Doug, on the air, and then I'm going to go to the little box that's going to put this into perspective. Because when I put up the alert, you know, I said otherworldly, and you know what I'm going to talk about. And I guess we've got 14 minutes. Yes, National Guard soldiers saw and touched the guillotines at Fort Devens. Steve, he, my friend's friend, understands the situation, but he already got in trouble from this situation back then along with another guy, and they were interrogated for 3 hours for simply doing their jobs. There was actually a group of them which saw what was going on and knew something was not right. They had far too many private contractors in uniform with the same BDUs as they had. In fact, you could not tell them apart except for one colorful patch, which you could not make out. They were doing a sweep operation of the base and checking the place all over when they came across an open door with some crates inside, left unguarded, so they went to see what was going on. First, the guillotines. They were guarded by private contractors, not by our military. It was in 2005 at Fort Devens. The base was in the process of closing, but also rebuilding at the same time. What I told everybody, Doug, is that the bases that were closed, supposedly for cost-cutting by the U.S. military, were given over to the NATO troops and NATO forces, and also private contractors. The base was in the process of closing, but also rebuilding at the same time. He saw truckloads of concertina wire being hauled in and materials, too, but at the same time, they were shipping out the military units and closing the base. The more troops which left, the more private contractors that came in. They guarded the items they would not allow the troops to see or even get near. They had about 14 crates, all compromising a number of guillotines, but no idea on the number of actual units. He did see and touch one of them partially assembled. He gave the description of a stainless steel blade that was very heavy duty and interchangeable. It was powered by a hydraulic ram. It had no cable or ropes. The blade is housed in a framework that was powder coated black. The height was 7 feet. The width was 3.5 to 4 feet. Now, here's what's interesting. The writing on the unopened crates was Arabic. And then I put, tune in tonight with Hagman and Hagman. Wait till you hear the rest of the eyewitness account. It's otherworldly. It's otherworldly. Now, this is going to get interesting.
I got to tell you, Steve, when I read that, it made me think. But now, you're going to have people, and scoffers, mockers, questioners. A couple of questions. First of all, Steve, why would they choose, when I say they, the perpetrators choose that particular method of execution as opposed to something more effective, especially when you have larger numbers of people, gas chambers, if you will. You know, why choose
I have an answer for you, and it was given to me by a CIA hitman, okay? I asked him that specific word, okay? And he said it goes back to Genesis, and it goes back to the whole bruising the head of the serpent and the serpent bruising the heel, you know, of the Messiah. Basically, that's what he told me, okay? Believe me, but by the way, it's the same guy that told me the intelligence community had penetrated every major television ministry and had interjected their men or women into the ministries and were largely responsible for funding the pre-tribulation rapture teaching. This man is dead now, ladies and gentlemen, and I can only tell you this, given the people I met with him, around him, and that were, you know, how should I say this, part of his contingency, he was the real thing. When I say the real thing, beyond the real thing. Unfortunately, I could not win him to Jesus. I tried. It was on Coast to Coast talking about it one night, not by his real name, but by his code name. And one of his dear friends that had been with me in Reno that was, aware of text, called me and said, "Steve, yeah, he died." And I said, "I'm sorry to hear that." He got abandoned by the very people that he had served so faithfully because he started trying to warn. I guess he was trying to make peace with God. And so he ended up dying in a nursing home or something. But he told me about all the stuff that went on Mars, which I have confirmed through other people, and went on the moon and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Super soldiers named it, the incubatoriums around the world were alien human hybrids. And I can tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, when you're dealing with a guy who's as cold as ice, who has eyes as dark as a coal mine, absolutely has no, restraint on murdering people for the country. And then to see that man weep, I remember I took him to the Bozeman Airport, and he wept when I asked him, "Have you been in the laboratories?" And when he told me about the human-animal hybrids, okay, and the horrible thing, people screaming out of the gauges, "Help us, help us." And I watched him literally transform from a paid assassin into a snot-bubbling guy who had been so traumatized that all of the veneer was coming off. And I prayed for him, Doug, and again, I don't know, but I don't think he, you know, I can't say I know for a fact, but I know that he would not or could not give his heart to Jesus because of how evil he was. And I tried to overcome that, and, you know, so those are some of the stories. But I want to get to Jack, and I got to say this. I've got a printer to bring it up on my computer because it's so small on the printout. I can't even read it, you know. I mean, this is small. If you want to set the stage, if you want to read what I sent to you, then I'll read the whole thing after that. Yeah, or if you just want to give me a sec, I'll find it, you know.
Okay.
I printed it out. You know, let's see this.
Let me see.
I'm talking about the box with the alien symbols.
Okay. Yeah. I've got to grab that here myself. Okay. Hang on just one second here. This is live radio of the finest here.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about live radio. Okay, I got it, Doug. I got it right here.
Okay, thanks, man. All right.
Yeah, I just, yeah.
Here, okay.
He's talking about another, yeah, he's talking about doing a sweep on the base. And then he goes into the detail. Let's see here. I'm sorry. I had the right one. He goes into the detail of a little box that was 3 feet by 4 feet by 2 feet. The box had, I can do this back from memory, the box had no visible openings, but it had an oxygen generator on the top of the box, and it also had some kind of an exhaust system. The box was separate, but it was in the area of the guillotines. Remember, there were 14 boxes. The guys got curious because they couldn't figure out a way, these are the two National Guardsmen, how this thing could be open. One was running his hand along the edge when all of a sudden, like a control panel showed up, almost a holographic control panel in the shape of a footprint. On the footprint were specific, if you will, symbols or drawings. Now, obviously, neither one of these are guys were familiar with, if you will, angel glyphs or alien writing. But two of the glyphs that he sent to me, and I'm going to try and publish it. I just got to get my guy to tell me how to put images on my own website. I don't know how to do that to bring it in. But the point is, he told me that very simply that the room had the smell of almonds when the exhaust in that unit was on, and they could not figure it out because as they would move their hand over, all these symbols would show up. More than one symbol, by the way. I think it was a dozen symbols, but they only could remember two, and they described the symbols and basically sent me an email showing me the symbols. Okay, now here's where it gets interesting. You asked me the question why they would behead the Christians or behead anybody. It's to get back at God. If we're in his image and likeness, literally Satan is taking the image and likeness of God, the image obviously created through original creation if we're Adamic stock, meaning of the seed of Adam, but the likeness restored only through Jesus. It's in essence the same thing, Doug. This will make it simple. When a woman gets mad at a man or vice versa and they throw the picture down on the ground, breaking the glass and frame, and stamp the picture into the ground. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It puts it in perspective. Yep.
Right. So the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think now, go along with me on this. What is usually the standard size of the gray aliens? Now, what I recognized immediately, someplace I had received the control panel photos from Roswell and the famous infamous UFO crash. And if I'm not mistaken, it had 12 images and six fingers controlled all the different buttons. Two of these glyphs on this box were identical to the Roswell crashed saucer control panel. Does that make sense, Doug? Am I saying clear enough?
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Yep. And so the thing is, it appears, and I don't know this for sure, it appears that there's something associated with the necessity of processing the bodies. And I don't know this for sure. Obviously, the friend of yours who you introduced me to just by voice, the thing is, he could probably clarify this, but it appears that one of the grays or a number of the grays are put into a form of stasis or stasis, suspended animation, if you will, kept ventilated, and they are to be used in the process. I don't know if it's Soylent Green, Soylent Blue, or Soylent Red. Maybe we should change to Soylent Red, huh? But the point is the fact that the three-letter guys, the CIA, got bent out of shape, and then they were interrogated again, and those boxes were taken immediately out of that vicinity. So what I'm trying to say in all this is that we have a multidimensional attack coming upon us, but the blood of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, the promise of the living God, his holy angels, his the sword of the Spirit, the word of our testimony, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, having our loins girded with truth, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And there's no way, by the way, to hightail it. I put up on my website, Doug, a couple of weeks ago, the Roman armor I have in my hallway that I walk by every day when I leave the house and I walk by every day when I come down into my office because it reminds me, you're at war, Steve. You are at war. By the way, the gladius, which is a Roman sword, is two-edged. It sharps both ways. So what I'm telling people to repent, the Holy Ghost is saying, you need to forgive this person. You need to do that. You need to do this, do that. Repentance is heartfelt sorrow for sinning against God. And God says, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as wool. I said, Lord, we're talking about somebody who believes in a lot of colors and a lot of shades. I'm a photographer. I like the Munsell color chart, you know. And the bottom line is that given my shades of sin, I said, well, I'm glad that, be as scarlet. In other words, that's as dark as sin as can be conceived. God says he'll forgive us. Isn't that a cool promise?
Yes. Absolutely. And we can I mean, without that promise, Steve, we would have nothing. I mean, without a very forgiving, a very loving God in the midst of this insanity. And this is so, and a lot of people, I know a lot of people are going to be listening to this and thinking, you know, I don't believe this, or it's so hard to fathom that what we're talking about. But you know, I thought that way as well. But, you know, the gentleman you and I spoke with before, a gentleman I respect a lot, connected to the intelligence venue, has talked about things such as, well, I mean, you could take it back to your earlier topic of super soldiers, to the cross-breeding of, you know, species, if you will. It does exist. These things do exist. So folks, I mean, you know, it's there. These programs are there. So not that you need, Steve, you know, certainly my endorsement, but or my you know, backing on this. But I was very surprised to hear that early on. And I don't know. People have to believe that. But Steve, we're up against the top of the hour, so we're going to take a break right now. The third hour is going to be incredible. I can't wait for the third hour. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to a very special broadcast, a very special guest, Steve Quayle, my brother, our brother in Christ, stevequayle.com. Bookmark his website, stevequayle.com. Bookmark it. Check out the story of today. Check out the alert, the dreams and visions in particular. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
If you're stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a horologium nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems that you have, I don't know what to get Grandpa, I don't know what to get my loved one, that's unique, you will find it at 4physics.com. Please take my word for it. Go to the website, but give yourself a lot of time because you're not going to want to leave 4physics.com.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's canadafreepress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at canadafreepress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Former Pussycat Doll singer and Dancing with the Stars performer Nicole Scherzinger says that to be successful in the music industry, you have to sell your soul to the devil. In an interview with the London Independent, Scherzinger describes how she grew up with a strong conservative religious background and had reservations about appearing on stage in skimpy outfits. "To be honest with you, I sometimes wish I were more slutty," said Scherzinger. "I'd probably be a lot more successful if I were. This is such a tough industry, you know. To make it, you really have to sell your soul to the devil." Asked if she had
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the third and final hour of this, the 19th day of March 2013, the Hagman and Hagman Report. What you heard right before the during the break was compliments of InfoWars' Paul Joseph Watson talking about Nicole Scherzinger having to sell your soul to the devil. And that's kind of, isn't that what we're talking about tonight, in a way where people have abandoned their God, the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and for whatever cost, and the judgment that is befalling us because of activities like that. And at any rate, we're very pleased to have with us Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com.
And I just want to say, if I can, we were talking about her selling her soul. Earlier I quoted Corinthians where it says, "For you were bought with a price. You're not your own. That's not your soul to sell."
Indeed, that's very true. Thanks, Joe. And together, Joe and I are the Hagman and the Hagman Report, and we want to thank, we're very humbled to have Steve Quayle with us. Steve, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you, Doug. And again, I want to thank all the people that have emailed me. You've gotten my book, Aliens and Fallen Angels. Look, I can say this, Doug. I know how many people's lives are being touched. I know the anointing that's on a book. Obviously, I'm more into, you know, explaining things so people can understand them. People have thanked me for writing it in the two books. By the way, we were out of Angel Wars for a couple of weeks. They all came in, pallets of them. And I want to share with people, that book has now, I have people sending me emails saying they can't put it down. The Lord's speaking to them. So I would encourage you to go on my website, stevequayle.com. The major place they're sold is only through my website, and there's two or three bookstores around the country that have them. And somebody told me that they're selling them on Amazon. Somebody's buying them from me and selling them on Amazon. I don't care as long as the word gets out. The
That's
point
the
is that, yeah, the aliens and fallen angels, what we're talking about tonight, we're dealing with so much. But understand the hatred for mankind, and genetic Armageddon, too. Ladies and gentlemen, if somebody said, what's the one book that you have written that will put almost everything into perspective, I'd say go to Aliens and Fallen Angels first. And then with the, you know, the last book so far that I've written is Angel Wars, and now my book True Legends, we're about halfway through it, editing it, et cetera. And that's going to be a mind blower, Doug. It's going to be a mind blower because most people have absolutely bought the lie of where we come from. Now, isn't it amazing that the proponents of evolution are going to shift gears and then they're going to push out an alien savior. I think in all the fuss about the Pope, and I'm a little different than Tom and Chris, I appreciate what they've done, but look, the issue to me isn't who's going to be the black Pope or the last Pope or whatever, you know. The issue to me is that the Jesuit astronomers and scientists are all looking for an alien savior that, when they give the description of what he's like off of Arthur C. Clarke's book, the bottom line is that they're talking about Lucifer. So if Lucifer's coming back as the savior of the world, what's going to happen to the people that are saying, this is the savior of the world, this is Lucifer? So ladies and gentlemen, you can basically go on my website, click on my books. You can order online or during the day from 9 to 5 Mountain. You can call us at 406-586-4842, 406-586-4842. Doug, I have 10 and 12-year-old kids that got it, and their parents still can't get it, and they're so on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ that the parents said, I don't know what's come over my son. Well, I'll tell you what's come over your son. It's called the Spirit of the Living God's moving in the young people's lives, and I literally have some young friends of mine that have read my books, and when I say young, you know, 14, 15, and even younger, 10, 12, and I mean, I'm telling you, you sit down and talk to these kids, or you talk to them on the phone, and we're talking like, we're sure not talking the average level of a college graduate who can't, you know, usually put four words in the correct syntax in a sentence, and these kids are getting it. And I tell the kids, I say, listen, you guys may be, you know, 10, 12, 14, 15, 8, 6, it doesn't matter, but God, when he puts his hand on you, child of God, and if you're literally a child as a child of God, he will bring you up to speed so quickly that your parents and others around you will say, how can that happen? And it's going to happen because God is your ultimate instructor. The Holy Spirit, bless his name, will lead you into all truth and all knowing. And God is revealing the secrets of the universe that have been hidden to generations before us right now in order that we might know how to battle in those dimensions. So, Doug, again, aliens and fallen angels. I got to say this too. Genetic Armageddon is so timely and so basically in your face right now that when you understand that God was preparing his people through what I was writing at least 12 years ago in that realm, and then angel wars, and obviously go to the book of Revelation, there's war in heaven, and the devil and his angels fought against them, or Michael and, you know, the devil and his angels fought against Michael and his angels, God's angels, and the devil gets thrown out onto the earth from, I don't know, the second heaven, and then it's woe unto you inhabitants. I'm telling people that there are answers in the Word of God. There is a central theme in the Word of God. The central theme that I write about is the corruption of the human race by fallen angels, the redemption of the human race, that's of the seed of Adam still, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the exaltation of the human race as the sons of the living God, born of Adam, not sons of God in the Job sense of the word, which are angels. So those books are available online. And so anybody that would like to, you know, get them, they're available. And I want to read something from Pastor John Kyle. Now, Pastor John Kyle is in Billings, Montana. He's a dear friend of mine. And the man has been instrumental in being a blessing to me. And some of you have asked me, Steve, who are the pastors that you help? And I want to share something. When I ask anybody to help, whether it's Brother Marcus Samuel or John Kyle, these are men of God that I have tasted of their fruit. I watched them minister. I've been blessed by them. And so if any of you are in a situation where you're not being fed and you don't have a place to tithe to, and you know you'll be blessed in tithing, I get a dozen of those things probably every 2 days, then if you would, if you'll send me an email and you want to help John Kyle. John Kyle is a deliverance minister. And I can tell you this, in all the years I've been saved, 41 years, when it comes to deliverance, most people just hightail it and run, including, you know, members of the clergy, because they don't want to get their hands dirty. Yet Jesus basically cast out the demons, and he said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, that means the kingdom of God has come to you this day. And I say to you, don't even pray the Lord's Prayer. If you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, because God might hold you to the fact that in Jesus, you have the authority to cast out demons. But here's what John wrote to me. He said, Steve, He said, there are specific listeners tonight who have unforgiveness in their heart. People must forgive to be forgiven. Boy, brother, you know, especially in the body of Christ. What should a Christian do? He's answering my question rhetorically. Get deeper in the Word and Jesus. Learn some scriptures or they won't make it in the days ahead. Tell others about Jesus. Learn to be bold now. Use the blood of Jesus and do spiritual warfare. Pray ahead. Here's critical. A protection around themselves and their family. Anoint their home and property with oil. Know that Jesus can hide them from the evil that is coming very soon. Learn to walk by faith now, for a time is coming you will need your faith to work for you. He said, God bless you, Steve, Pastor Kyle. So if any of you want to basically, I would say this, get behind a man of God and his wife Linda. They're just lovely people. I'm not flattering them, but I can tell you this. They have paid a price. John has ministered to people who I can't even begin to get through to. And, you know, there are people that absolutely need to be freed by the blood of Jesus. And he's one of the men that has a show on a Mega Man radio network, I think, once a week. So if you want to sponsor somebody, but I can tell you is getting the job done. It's getting people set free by the hundreds. The bottom line is you send me an email. I'll send you Pastor John's address. And I can tell you this. I personally know him. I have personally been the benefit of the word of knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit working through him. The man is amazing. And I met a lot of people in my life, Doug and Joe, a lot. But when I'll say to you, there are people who stand out, and they stand out. And so I'm just asking those of you who would like to get involved to go ahead and send me an email. I'll send you John's address, and it'd be a blessing to him, and I'd really be grateful because there are servants of God out there on the front lines, and we throw them a canteen and a power bar and say, go at it, brother. I don't subscribe to that philosophy. You cannot basically expect men of God to fight the battle. And I believe that God uses cases like Pastor John or Marcus to basically give us an opportunity to get involved with him and to be blessed in the operation. So, Doug, that's what I think his advice is good. It answers your question specifically. You've got to forgive, to be forgiven. And as our mutual friend, my new friend introduced by you, he said, look, it's going to be by faith we make it through this. It's going to be by praising God. It's the hardest thing to do when you're under the rubble. And I've heard all the cliches. Well, what are you doing under the rubble? You know, that's kind of a tongue-in-cheek statement from somebody who happens not to be under the rubble. I say, well, I didn't choose to be under the rubble, but I don't need your tongue telling me to crawl out. Lift the weights off of the rocks crushing me, and then I'll be able to help you when your world comes crashing down. When people need a helping hand, they do not need a lecture, okay? When people need a touch of God in their life, they don't need religious slogans. When people need a miracle or they're going to die, the power of God is the only thing there. When people need financial miracles, provision miracles, peace of mind miracles, guess what? It's in the power of the blood of Jesus, in the promise of the Word of God. I believe that the power of God is going to be poured out so greatly that even when the demons, and by the way, Tex told me this. He was at an underground base, I think it was in the White Mountains of Arizona, and he said he was down there with a group of dignitaries, in, you know, looking over, and these guys all had, you know, high clearance, and he said one of the guys whispered, oh, Jesus, under his breath. The aliens picked that up and absolutely ran for their lives down a hallway. And he didn't say it audibly, Doug, but I remember Tex saying they absolutely went nuts, the people he was with, and they had never seen the aliens behave so badly. So there is protection, but assumed protection is not the same as functional protection. You can't be basically committing adultery and saying, get out in Jesus' name. Now, there may be exceptions to that because God gives every man a space to repent. But the point being is that, and I think Dr. Hagstrom made this clear on your show that one time, the reason men of God who have moral failure can still succeed is because they're still wise enough to speak the word of God, and God's word stands apart from their sin and will accomplish that which it goes forth for. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely, it does. Yes.
Hey, if God can use a donkey,
yeah,
if God can use a donkey, he can certainly use me and you and anybody else who will, you know, basically submit. We're out of time, Doug, out of time, not out of time. We'll soon be out of time, where we are in the thrust of being shot into the most difficult period in time, so much so that Jesus said, if the days weren't shortened, there'd be no flesh left alive. I read something on one of the cinema magazines that Steven Spielberg's next movie, or the one he's working on, is called Robocalypse. It's about an apocalypse of robots. And I said this to everybody. I put up a story on my website today. This is critical that you understand this. I'm not telling stories for story's sake. That now they have a microwave laser that they call a phaser. Gene Roddenberry was a Central Intelligence Agency asset. The first time I know phaser, that I can track it back, was to the early Star Trek TV series. Obviously, it came forth from that point. But the thing that's interesting to me, Doug, is whenever they admit to having something in the development stage, it's already a completed project.
It's already
a completed project.
That's right. And the gentleman we spoke with, once again, I've got a lot of respect for, is talking about Isaac Asimov, about his science fiction writings, but he's also a great student of the Bible as well. And a lot of times I think that, through writings such as that, it makes the message a little bit more, shall we say, palatable, for the mainstream. I think people have to understand, as you mentioned about Roddenberry and such, you know, there are messages there that we should pay attention to.
Well, again, Asimov and Arthur Clarke and others, they have access that most people don't have. Because whether most people like to admit or not, those guys truly are geniuses, okay? But genius can either be a surrendered to the will of God genius, or it can be aligned with the devil. There are sinister geniuses, and there are righteous geniuses through the blood of Jesus. The neat thing is, Doug, is as we come to know Jesus, he promises his believers minds that can be renewed by the Holy Spirit of God. I can only say this. So many times I've gotten answers through prayer that I could not get any other way. You can't Google search for some answers, obviously. But when God in his mercy shows up at the time of your ultimate necessity, and I call that contact point, when you get troubled enough, bummed out enough, desperate enough, and you really seek God with all your heart, scriptures, that's when you'll find him. That's the contact point. And that's what I'm talking about tonight, Doug. I want people to understand that Jesus is the ultimate contact point for all of us. That doesn't matter. Look, I've been betrayed by so many people that, I've lost track, okay? But I've learned I have to forgive them. That doesn't mean I have to, you know, be buddies with them or put them in a position to betray me again. But the point is that once you release them, they no longer control you. And David Langford told me an amazing thing. Pastor David said, Steve, remember, those who anger you control you. And weren't you told that by a certain intelligence agent? Don't let them piss you off, Steve, in those uncertain terms.
Yeah, and I think people have to understand the battle that's being waged is such that anyone can go on to any type of forum and read the criticisms and critiques and the attacks. But I think it's so important for people to understand, as was told directly to me, these are professional people, that this is all they do, and they will attack the messenger. They will attempt to dilute the message, the divert the topic, and you're a target of this. We're targets of this. Other people are targets of this, but it's a professional disinformation campaign to get people off point. I was talking with a gentleman that I referenced earlier, and the question was asked, how many programs, for example, how many programs do we have left? How many more times, how many more warnings can we possibly give? And that's a real question. And in the meantime, You know, what is our duty? You know, what must we do? I think we all have to make very specific plans to be an asset of God. So we have to play our positions. We have to play our particular zones. And you know what, Steve? One other thing, too. I just want to mention this. And I say this a lot, but I really truly believe that every one of us was born for this very moment in time. I mean, if we're here right now today, we have a job to do. We, each one of us was born for this moment, to be a servant, an obedient servant of God. Do you agree with that? I mean,
well, yeah, I think that we're all is basically we're all brought forth for such a time as this, and God's foreknowledge, His predestination, His plan. You know, we are absolutely at the point in history where we need to be, okay? Now, obviously, I think, you know, a little bit of me would rather have been, you know, with my ancestors, pirates, you know, and before that, Vikings on the Isle of Man. I mean, I'm not kidding when I say that, and who wouldn't have wanted to live at the time of Jesus and be, you know, be a follower of His? But God knows what He's doing. And so the point that is important, Doug, yeah, I believe your statement is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And for such a time as this, and you don't know, brothers and sisters, how the one person that God says, go talk to him about me, go tell him I love him, go tell her sins are forgiven. You don't know that person is going to turn the world upside down. Because somebody brought me Jesus, and I'd like to say this, that out of my gratefulness, and I don't believe in just saying thank you. I believe in showing thank you, and that's where we're at. We're at the time now where those of us who have been redeemed, Bible says, let the man whom the Lord has redeemed say so. Doug, it is like, and I'm saying this is me, and there's no pointing my finger, but the church at large, especially the majority of the pulpits, you'd think they're deaf, dumb, and stupid because they don't hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. They don't want to. They don't speak what the Lord is saying because it would be offensive. And stupid is this, is that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why not just take off the pastor's suit, you know, and play Halloween and wear the devil suit? Because any man of God that denies the word of God is the spirit of Antichrist. I don't care. I don't apologize it. That's it. Yeah,
that's very true. That's extremely true. And what you mentioned before as well, you know, the person, whether you are you could be a widow listening to this in your apartment, have no one, or you could be a father of 10, whatever your station in life is. You know, we all need to have this instinct, this inherent instinct to survive, to not only survive, but to thrive in the Word. And who knows what our, by our actions, who we could touch or what, through our actions, what could we could possibly cause to happen that would, as you mentioned, you know, down the line. I mean, it's really a great thing to think about, because we all play a certain role here in these times that we face, and they're frightening times, but they're also exciting times, and they're also times that we can, you know, as believers, we have. At least in my view, as believers, we know where, right, man, we know how the story ends.
And a lot of the people, I see comments and read emails that people get, you know, this, they say it's they're scared, they don't like the message, it's too much information, and you know, fear is something that we don't have to be a part of. It's just a matter of your own perception. You can choose to look at anything in one of two ways. Either, you know, use it to your advantage, look at everything with joy, or you could be negative about things. And that's just...
Sure. Can I tell you what a neuro-linguistic, hey, Joe and Doug, what you'll notice is amazing. The dead giveaway, and now they'll change a tactic. But when they call me a fear-monger is a word that neuro-linguistic programming, and look up NLP, a sound that basically, or a word that is repeated and defined multiple times in multiple ways and redefined each time. Neurolinguistic programming, when I see that, I know that the person, chances are, is number one, either a fed, either a shill, or either a false brethren. I'm telling you this, here's, and this is what I want to say another time, and I didn't get to it earlier. I can tell you that based on what I sensed in my spirit when God dropped it, literally into my spirit, he said, and Brother Bruce gave me this word, he said, Steve, many of these Christians have got to understand that if they don't stop destroying the messengers of God, and obviously he knows the flack I get and others, he said that God has told me to say they'll be brought into the hall of judgment, and many of them will go home before their time. Because God loves them so much, he's not going to let them sin to the point they lose their, what do you call it, redemption. But he is going to take them out of, let's say, the way so that they don't harm the lambs and they don't continue. I'll tell you what, here's what the Lord said. I said, Lord, how about all the young people and how about all those new in the faith that listen to me? Then they go on the forums. I'm talking about Jesus. These guys are going after the messenger. I'm going to share this because it's a God thing. It's not self-defense or, my critics. This has everything to do. The Lord said to me, Steve, I will give them space to repent. If they do not repent in their action, their words, and their deeds, he said they will have their Ananias and Sapphira moment. Now, that's scary, ladies and gentlemen, because I got enough enemies to, have said when Solomon was given anything he could have had by the Lord, he didn't even pray for the life of his enemies. I've been tempted two times, and one time I was interrupted by my intercessor, and Romy, bless her heart, called me, and she said, Steve, I want you to know what the Lord just told me. She said, a certain individual just stepped over the line. Judgment is certain. And she said, the Lord knows what's going on in your mind and heart. And he told me to tell you, you don't have to worry. God is going to absolutely deal with them. And by the way, Romy gave me a word about a certain man that was wrong for my daughter. And I remember getting ready to go down and basically, do whatever I had to do to, this is years ago. And Romy said, Steve, God's going to take him out very quickly. The man blew up on the runway in a small plane, and my daughter, she's gotten over it, God bless her, and the Lord has been gracious to her. But she watched her boyfriend, who was wrong for her, burn up before her very eyes. It was on Santa Monica. It was on KTLA, okay? So, saying all that, we're at the point. By the way, Doug, on my website, I just want to explain something. My daughter Stephanie is a country music. She's a singer-songwriter. I had a guitar made for her during that time period by Ren Ferguson, Gibson's number one luthier. If you don't understand, if you play guitar and you don't know who Ren is, he's the most famous luthier, guitar builder in the world. It's called the Archangel. She can't play it because it's just too expensive. And, it's on my website. We're selling raffle tickets. And Stephanie is amazing. She wrote songs about the vets, and she's been before the Commandant of the Marine Corps and stuff, and, played for them. And the deal is that she wants to donate, a large percentage of the proceeds of the guitar. So we're trying to raffle the guitar off in record time. I know the time we're up against. $100 a ticket. It's on my website. The gold on the guitar is worth $4,000. The guitar itself is priced in the top two most expensive guitars because of all the work on it and stuff. So if people want to give to the vets and have a 1 in 500 chance of winning, literally one of the most expensive guitars in the world, just the gold on it's worth, 40 times what they pay for a raffle ticket. The point is that please go to my website. And again, Stephanie is absolutely one of the most remarkable women in that she absolutely will go out of her way. It doesn't matter. She doesn't want the applause. She doesn't want the hoorays and hoorahs. But she'll go out of her way to go to the man or the woman who's been, let's say this, because of the silly policy blowing up or parts of their body blowing up. And I'll tell you, I'm so amazed at my daughter. Sure, I'm in essence a proud dad. But when she says, Dad, I want to give part of the proceeds away to the vets, I mean, and we're talking, you know, obviously tens of thousands of dollars. The point is that this is what we're trying to get people to understand. So if anybody would do that, obviously my accounting firm will handle the drawing. Everybody goes in on an equal basis. Please go and look at it. For no other reason, you've got to see the Archangel. There are so many individual pieces on that thing. It's a remarkable thing. I mean, when it's one of two in the world, not two of the same thing, but one of the two most expensive guitars in the world, I think it's important for people to understand it. When you're in the guitar-making business, all the individual inlays and all the woods used and everything, and there's videos of who Wren is, and Wren has been a friend of mine and watched Stephanie grow up for, you know, almost, you know, what is she, 30 years old or something? So the point is that it's kind of a neat deal. I'm saying that to help the vets. It's important that people recognize to do what they're going to do. This is the other thing the Lord told me. A lot of you have made promises to different ministries. This is not me begging for money. I don't ask for money for me. I ask you to support the men of God and the women of God that are out there. But a lot of you absolutely, and there are some of you with big money. My definition of big money is obviously, you know, and big money to me is $10 to $50 million. And there are those of you that have been praying. You've made promises to Bruce. You've made promises to me and all those others. And you're still asking God for more validation. You can't take your money with you. And by the way, Doug, V just called me. He's going to come on Friday night with you and I and V, and it's going to be called Guerrilla Finances, okay? Again, he's been prescient. There are people that disagree with him, disagree with me. The guy knows what's going on. And again, on my website, I just was able to now become a dealer for the Valcambi gold bars, or 50-gram gold bars. You can break off a gram at a time. It's worth about $55 a gram right now. They're 1.6 ounces. They're very hard to get in this country. But imagine having a waffle of gold, very thin, credit card size, and should you ever need to borrow, barter, or bribe, okay? And I'm serious about the bribe part. This is the way that you can have a gold credit card in your wallet that's really gold. It goes up in price, and they're on my website, and you can call us on that number. I consider that the ultimate survival coin. Obviously, gold and silver, all of it's good, but this is something I'm talking about. Women carry in their purse at least one, men carry in their wallet at least one, and that, I just got that today. So, again, people are emailing me. We're going to talk about all this stuff on Friday night. It's going to be called Guerrilla Finances or Guerrilla Warfare in the Marketplace. We'll talk about Cyprus. We'll talk about Spain, Italy, country by country. And so, again, it'll be at least 2 hours. We'll be on Hagman & Hagman, V and I, on Friday night.
And for those people that heard the last program, how can you doubt? I mean, everything that he had, that your source had talked about on that program had come to pass or is in the process of coming to pass. So with this new information this coming Friday, it's going to be a fantastic show. I certainly can't wait for that. Steve, I've got a question for you here. This has arisen a couple of different times. We have listeners right now listening live in Israel, and as a matter of fact, just north of Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem. And I don't know whether you want to entertain this question or not, but I've got, like I said, a couple of questions relating to this. I'll just paraphrase and kind of put all these questions into one. No doubt, of course, we've heard that Obama's trip to Israel. We're hearing that Obama's going to receive the Presidential Medal of Distinction, the highest award to be given by Israel to anyone, with the exception of military awards. Steve, in your scenario, that in everything we've talked about tonight, how does this fit in with the signs of the times, if it does, if you want to entertain that question?
Well, sure, I'll entertain it. I think it's really prophetic, and as one of the listeners who's hearing me tonight talking about judgment begins, every time, and let me share something. You know, I get called every name in the book. Number one, I'm not a Zionist, okay? Number two, I'm not Jewish. But number three, Jerusalem is the city of the great king. It's where Jesus himself will sit on his throne. The Antichrist is trying to usurp his throne prior to the second return. The Antichrist will pull out all stops. Now, I think it's interesting, and someone pointed this out. I missed it, but, you know, Obama is going into Jerusalem on a donkey as the head of the Democratic National Party. You know, I mean, I don't think he's literally riding in on a donkey. But remember this, when you have the pressure that's being exerted on Israel, and I say Israel, I don't just mean the Jews. Israel is obviously Jacob's name that was changed after he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. There are 12 tribes of Israel. So I define Israel differently than all those people that accuse me of being a Zionist, okay? I'm also a pragmatist and I'm a historicist. That means that God is very specific in that you divide my land, I'll divide your land, Zechariah 12. Henry Gruber's written an entire book on it, or a little pamphlet book on it, and the deal that's really striking to me is how much, why is that little corner of the world so important? Well, it's important because everybody wants control and power. And, you know, Doug, it was fascinating because I got mocked, and I'll still get mocked by a lot of professing Catholics for this statement, but I'm telling you, Catholicism and Islam will merge. And they will absorb Mormonism also. And the reason I can say that is the new pope, who, by the way, I think is a temporary insert to basically break the expectation of the black pope. In other words, to cover up the other thing. Now, the final pope, and nobody said there can't be timeouts. In the Bible itself, there are timeouts. In other words, God will stop his clock for a timeout, either of repentance or change or for judgment, and then the clock starts again. I'm not so convinced that this guy isn't a timeout pope, okay? And maybe just, and obviously, you know, Tom and Chris are better set to, you know, speak to that. They wrote the book, you know, how many hundreds and hundreds of pages. But what I'm saying specifically in this is that the whole idea of Islam and Catholicism and Mormonism merging is not that far-fetched. And the reason it's not far-fetched is because we know there's going to be a one-world religion. Look, all Satan has to do to bring about anything he wants to do is just quit agitating part A and part B. Say, come on, guys, you know, quit going at it. When you generate a problem, you provide the solution. That's the, what's called the Hegelian dialectic. You create a problem, you provide a solution, you bring about the synthesis, which is the result you want that you created the problem in the first place for, i.e., a good example, the Hegelian dialectic are these mind-controlled zombies shooting kids, or at least staging the shooting of kids, and or in whatever, and then calling for more gun control. Despots hate gun control, and the point is it's the last stand that you and I have to defend what we have. Do they want the guns? Absolutely. Are they going to go for the guns? Absolutely. Will they succeed? Some areas yes, some other areas no. But ultimately, there's nothing that any of us possess that's more powerful than the blood of Jesus. Derek Prince has a wonderful tape, a teaching. By the way, you can go to derekprince.org, derekprince.org, and order some marvelous teaching tapes. The one series that Derek did, and I think it's 18 DVDs or whatever, is Spiritual Conflict. That will help you have the greatest understanding of what went on in the war between God and the devil, who Jesus is, what it means to be called the second Adam, why Jesus is doing what he's doing. It gives you the most amazing panorama of God's activities, purposes, and leadings in history, and it is probably the most victorious series of teaching that I have ever heard. And for the record, I knew Derek when he was alive. I went to, you know, half a dozen of his seminars around the country, and those were 5 days long. He prayed over me. He prayed an anointing on me, prayed for miracles in my body. And when Derek prayed, it was a matter of fact. Most of you that know him, I mean, very, very, very proper. But you could sense the power of God from the moment he stepped into the pulpit. Because never forget this, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God, God's Word itself declares that he has exalted his Word amongst it, beyond his name. So, you know, the sacred name bunch that thinks that, you know, by using God's sacred name, they kind of have a magic spell. If they don't know the Word of God and apply it, the name of Yahweh will not, or Yah, or Jah, will not basically save them if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I can argue with people who believe that God is not a Trinity. I get those guys. If that's the case, then go to the book of Proverbs, and where the writer is asked, tell me, O Lemuel, if you have wisdom, what is God's name or his son's name? That one usually drives the Muslims crazy, because the bottom line is they always say God has no children, but they acknowledge Solomon as being the wisest man on the earth. And guess what? The wisest man on the earth said, hey, what's God's name or what's his son's name? You see, Doug, Christians cannot battle at this point. They cannot battle because, number one, they don't believe there's a war. Number two, they don't know what the enemy is. Number three, they don't have the weapons. Number four, they don't have the desire. Number five, they're apathetic and indifferent. I'm talking about the majority of Christians in America. Number six, they can't care more of what people think than God thinks. And number seven, they're riddled with fear of rejection. But what would they do if someone knew they were a real Christian? Well, I got news for you. Someone who's going to hell and has a revelation, you might be the only lifeline that anybody ever had to heaven. I can tell you, this is something I saw. I saw that each one of us has an opportunity. This is kind of where you were going earlier, Doug, in the show. Each one of us has the ability and the God-gifted anointing to touch people for Jesus that no one else can touch. That doesn't mean they go to hell if we don't get the message to them. It just means we don't get the blessing of the greatest promise in the Word of God. And guess what? Wisdom is defined, obviously, in one way in the Scriptures, that he who winneth souls is wise. People who don't give a darn, politically correct statement, could care less about people going to hell. My question is, do they know the risen Savior? Do they have anything even equal to compassion? Because, ladies and gentlemen, as someone who's been to hell, and I'm not talking about war or any of that, I'm talking about the literal hell, the real hell, I can tell you the thing that God indelibly imprinted in my spirit, when you go there, you don't ever go out. You are, and somebody says, I don't believe in eternal damnation. Doesn't matter. The Bible teaches that Jesus said, well, there's weeping, and we're weeping and gnashing teeth, and the worm dieth not. We had that marvelous teaching, Doug, that you and I read on the air about what your friend told you about the worm, if you will, that's in the DNA. I got news for you. Until he told you that, I never had a clue what the worm that dieth not is. I just didn't know.
I would urge everyone to go to your website, that's stevequayle.com. Look up that story, Life as an Investigator is Like a Box of Chocolates. I've got to tell you, there's more information in that. I mean, that's like the Rosetta Stone of, I don't know how to describe it, except that it answers a lot of questions we are talking about during our regular programming, Steve, about this very issue, about the people, about the war that we're fighting. And you touch upon this in your book, Angel Wars and Genetic Armageddon and Giants, and in various different ways. This is something that people have to understand what we're dealing with. And we're dealing with, when it comes down to it, I mean, if you want to put it in a carnal sense, we're at war with this. Illuminous, this Luciferian demonic entities who believe that they're superior to us. They're not of Adam, I suppose. Is a correct statement, but these are the people who are enslaving us here on this earth, or who intend to enslave us and inflict the very, in my view at least, Stephen, feel free to correct me.
But you're accurate, Doug.
These are the people, and I'll tell you, it took me a long time to really understand this as an investigator, and you pulled me here kicking and screaming, as did others. but this is the Rosetta Stone to understanding who the Illuminati think they are, and you know how, why they are acting the way they are, and going to enslave us. It's a demonic Luciferian core that we're fighting, and I got to tell you, reading that really. That really answered a lot of questions, and that melds very nicely with everything you've written, in particular the book Angel Wars. And I would urge everyone to get a copy of Angel Wars. My goodness, that's my favorite book of yours. But I just wanted to say that. So yes, wow, it's an amazing. We look at history. I mean, the way I look at history now, completely different than I look. You know, I'm talking about biblical history. I look at it totally different, because if you don't understand, I mean, to me, if you don't understand that the alien factor, and I don't mean little green men, but the alien factor, I don't think you would understand, have a good basis of understanding of the Bible. And you can feel free to refine that statement on my behalf.
Well, okay, Doug, what you're saying is accurate. The bottom line is that when we're talking about, and again, look, I live in the world a man has nothing except he receive it from above, okay? Obviously, as someone who's called to be a watchman, and I didn't take the mantle on, as I said, when I saw Jesus, I didn't know that. And by the way, in one of the early church requirements to even acknowledge authority in a, quote, whatever, prophet or apostle, they had to have seen Jesus in the flesh. And literally, when Paul is thrown off his horse, his eyes or his donkey, and his eyes were open, etc., he qualified because Paul was caught up in the heavens. So the point that I'm trying to make is this. The authority that God gives is based on his word. Obviously, like I've told my critics, stand in line, boys. I can see 100 things more than you. But the difference between my 100 things that are wrong in my life, and I'm just taking a number, and the people that criticize me is I have cast my care upon Jesus. I have confessed my sin and do confess my sin. I abandoned myself to him. And one day I was saying, Lord, don't you ever get tired of forgiving me? You know, we both know I got some issues, okay? And you know, Doug, it's interesting. The minute I say I want to forgive something, every Jezebel prophetess from hell, every wannabe, you know, if I told you how many times the two witnesses who aren't have contacted me, if I told you how many fruitcakes that are astral wanderers from the planet Vega or star cruisers from Pleiades telling me, you know, well, you know a little, but your chakra, your energy level isn't up to the age of enlightenment. Well, you can bet after those kind of statements, I just have to basically bite my tongue, say, Lord, help me, because God, I want to unleash, okay? But it's a fascinating to me. You know, somebody asked me today, one of my friends, he said, who are you under, Steve, under authority? I submit to 5 men of God that are pretty amazing men of God. I've said you have the right to correct me, to rebuke me, and they do. Because, look, I know the benefit of being under authority, Doug, you know. Some of the most amazing men of God I know have been on this show with me, whether it's Henry Gruber, whether it's David Langford, and I call David the Walking Bible, whether it's John Kyle, whether it's Bruce Y, and I won't give out his last name because just for the reasons I want to protect his identity, not because he wouldn't allow me to, but I want to protect his identity. I have some amazing men that I'm under authority to. So the point is I can bounce stuff off them. I can check my leading. And for instance, I'll say, David, what's the Lord speaking to you? And before he gets a chance to answer, I'll say, well, the Lord just gave me, let's say, 2 Chronicles 5:11. And I don't even know what that is. I'm just pulling that up. And he says, Steve, I was just in 2 Chronicles 5:11 this morning praying. So, see, God has a way of confirming his word. And it's literally when Bruce and Susan gave me the word today, that was so profound. The Lord told them to tell me that his glory and his fire, now that's the cleansing fire, it's also the fire of the Holy Ghost, is going to go through the land in such an amazing way. And I said to Bruce on the phone, I said, Bruce, you know God's people aren't ready for what's coming. I know what's coming, and I'm not ready. And I mean that. I don't mean with prep stuff. I still believe in prepping. I believe, obviously, all the people without power in whatever Alabama or Georgia should have prepped. I believe all the people in the snowstorm should have been prepped. I believe everybody should be prepped for every eventuality. But like the first prophecy of Earls, whatever his name is, Mr. Earls in 1960 said, you got to be ready to go when I tell you to go and where I tell you to go. And I've got to rest in that, brother, you know. I've got to rest in that.
Well, you know, as far as preps are concerned, I think it's our earthly duty, and if not for us, for our families, for the people that even if we, for whatever reason, are not here, it's for those who we leave behind, for whatever reason. But everything you've spoken about tonight, Steve, is just been amazing, and I just I can't, you know, how do we frame this up? We've got about 6 minutes left of the show. How do we frame this up in the closing minutes here? What's the most important thing that you could leave the listeners with here that you think is important that maybe we could recap or you haven't covered?
Well, I think I would leave you with the words of Jesus, because that's what I comfort myself in, okay? When the Lord himself, bless his name, what an amazing Savior. And I mean that, okay? And I got to tell everybody this. When you see Jesus, I've been blessed. I've been given that in life because I believe it. I could not have done what God called me to do. He knew it. He put something deep in my spirit. But when I say this, I'm going to say, and I ask the Lord to forgive me for the loss of words. You're talking about the most magnificent expression of love, of acceptance, of transformation, of absolute acceptance that goes beyond anything. Most of us, you know, who have a past, let's say we're not proud of, or sordid past, or just disgusting past, even though God forgives us, we know we've done a lot of dumb stuff. And when I was complaining to the Lord about that, I said, God, you know what I was like. He said, I have forgiven you. I have forgotten. I have set your sins as far as the east is from the west. And I would say this, keep your eyes on Jesus. Absolutely call out to him if you don't know him. And he's not threatened by the challenge. Lord, if you're real, Lord Jesus, if you are the Son of God, reveal yourself to me. Not with a clenched fist, but with an open palm. Not with an arrogant heart, but with an honest heart. You'll be surprised what's happening. And Jesus said he'd never leave us or forsake us. That's a pretty amazing thing. I'd also remind everybody, and this has to be proven in the furnace of affliction, in other words, you've got to go through it, the power that we have with God is directly related to the encounters we allow the Lord to bring us into and bring us through and still basically overcome by the word of the Lord. In other words, what I'm saying is we have to know the Bible. What Pastor John Kyle said is so true. It is so incredible. We have to forgive, and we have to forgive. Now, we don't forgive the devil. We don't have to forgive the Illuminati. We don't have to do that. But it's not God talking about our brethren. Christians, take up this sword against the devil. Quit destroying each other on those forums. You're working against yourself, and you will go to an early grave. Those of you who believe you're absolutely the assayers of all truth, let me ask you three questions. How many people have you won to the Lord? How many people have you clothed and fed and cared for? How many people have you had a direct influence in their life to change their life? And you can say zero to all those things. I said, then you better get on your face and repent, because my Bible tells me you're an unprofitable servant. That which God has entrusted to you, you have been faithless with, you have been fruitless with, and unless ye repent, ye shall surely die. Those are hard words, Doug. Those are really hard words. But those are my words for tonight. And ladies and gentlemen, an update on Sue Bradley. They finally identified what was going on in her life. I called her in the hospital. She's very weak. But my pastor, friend Bruce, called her husband, Pat. And I can tell you this. I thank each and every one of you. I want all of you that have been praying for Sue to thank the Lord for her, because in thanksgiving is victory. King Jehoshaphat, when he was overcome by insurmountable odds, sought the Lord through the prophet, and God said, stand fast. And Jehoshaphat sent out people to praise and sing and dance before the Lord. Can you imagine how the armies that were against Jehoshaphat thought, this guy's lost his mind, this is going to be easy, until the angel of the Lord smote all of Jehoshaphat's enemies. We need God to fight for us. We need to quit fighting against God. We need to quit beating up the brethren. And by the way, the brethren, that it remains to be seen by the Lord, because there's a lot of people that are on these boards that are totally fake. They are absolutely degenerate, unregenerate people who are masquerading as Christians, whose only goal there is to attack your faith and faith and undermine the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've got that kind of time to be on these boards and answering all these, let's just say this, insidious challenges, let me make sure that you spend that same amount of time praying. And again, the way to pray is with an honest heart. And there are, I mean, look up the Google search, Doug. Have everybody Google search prayers in the Bible. Pray those. That'll teach you how to pray. And good night, everyone. Doug, bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, Steve. Thank you so very much. That was Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. What a show. What a fantastic show. I want to thank Steve, my brother. God bless you. And folks, please
Friday.
Pray for Andy. By the way, I just want to say this real quick. Please pray for Lindy, who's got stage 4 bone cancer, a lot of pain, and we just need the community, our community, to ask for a miracle of intervention for Lindy, and also for strength for her husband, Larry. Joe, go ahead and say.
No, I just wanted to say Friday we're going to have V on with Steve, the Financial Insider. And yes, please pray for Larry and his wife and their family, and everybody else. Pray for anybody suffering and going through difficult times. And we'll be praying for you. God bless each and every one of you. We will see you tomorrow night.